Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
A hyphen, Webster's Dictionary defines, is a symbol used to divide a compound word or a single word.
Hey, I'll do it.
It seems to me that when a man calls himself an Afro-American, a Mexican-American, Italian-American...
How you
an
Afro's doing?
Irish-American, Jewish-American.
The Irish doing.
What he's saying is, I'm a divided American. Mm-hmm.
Crooked cross the Nazis flew.
Well, we all came from other places. Different creeds.
Yeah.
Different races. To form a nation.
Right, Johnny.
Become as one. Yet look at the harm a line has done.
How about that?
A simple little line, and yet as divisive as a line can get. A crooked cross the Nazis flew, and the Russian hammer and sickle, too.
Hi, Rob.
Flame bomb.
Hi.
In the lives of men. But none of these could ever fan the flames of hatred.
Yeah.
Faster than the hyphen.
The hymen?
No, hyphen.
The Russian hammer built a wall that locks men's hearts from freedom's call.
I don't like hearing this.
Frickin' cross flew overhead above.
Why, you
he speaks the truth.
Dead.
But still.
Men from this
he's got no style.
Freedom's preservation.
The Duke?
A hyphen is a line that's small.
The Duke.
You're talking about the Duke.
Be a wall.
You love the Duke, don't you?
Time.
I like it better than I've ever liked it.
Have to climb. The road to liberty.
Say it. Say you like it.
I love the Duke.
This is up to you.
Why do you have to call him that?
Used as a bridge.
It's his nickname.
All the differences.
Couldn't you just say,
I love John Wayne.
You love Duke.
Our most important goal.
You won't go there?
No, because it's not right.
Good for your wall.
I'd do it if it was correct.
Grammatically correct.
Small.
But really, no, you could say, they call him Duke Wayne, right?
Yeah.
So I can say, I love Duke.
They came to her.
And you have had
they
football.
Might find a world where they...
Right, so I
you
guess...
also.
I guess I also, in a weird way, love Duke as well.
You what?
And something more.
I don't love the same Duke as you.
Could be full.
I love like John Wayne.
I love the Duke football.
So you be wise in your decision.
Even that's more proper to say, what's your favorite college? Which football team do you love?
One another.
The Duke.
No, a Duke. Duke, you got to say the full sentence to be right.
Divided we fall.
See, I had to force mine. Not
we're
really.
American.
Not badly, hopefully.
That says it all.
I love the Duke.
I'm not a fan of the actor or the school, but still.
What? Say it, Buzz. Say it.
I love Duke.
That's it. He trumped us.
He trumped us.
Now let's hear from another great American. The tape I'm still not sick of.
I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two.
Yeah.
Because they're going to try to get the upper hand on. Mike wants the defense to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean, he's going to have a few, no disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call Jap plays.
Hey, to the okay. Orientals.
Surprise things. And
funny. Yeah, you're funny.
No disrespect to anyone.
Surprise things.
To the Orientals.
You ever notice Bill Parcells? It's really a variety of baby talk that he's doing.
I got a couple of guys, yo, such a good yo baby
I'll
boy.
Watch
that's why he talks like that, you know, these guys coming, he says, he's a cute little baby.
Hello.
Hello there, Mr. Shannon.
Hello. This is Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
Japanese birth rates are falling to a record low.
Really, Mr. Shannon?
The news renews fears the world may be heading towards an origami shortage.
Oh. Is that a groaner, Mr. Shannon?
Yes, it is.
Oh, sure is. It sure was.
But they're not puns today. They're not like a million to one.
Oh.
They're all
right.
Just completely lame groaners.
Little tiny gems.
Hello.
Hello.
The Atkins diet craze has officially gotten out of hand. R.J. Reynolds just announced they're introducing low-carb camels.
Wow. Yeah, I know.
Wow, Mr. Shannon.
And then you have this one that says, watch it, fella.
Oh, good.
Oh, be so careful. It's always good when you have a watch it, fella.
Ronald Reagan has been laid to rest. On the bright side, Nancy's on the market, fellas.
That's, you know, if you want to really be risky, you want to be out there. That's what you want to say.
Pretty daring.
My God.
So, anyway, like we were saying, Mike loves Duke.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, now.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
I won't leave you hanging out there. I'm down with Duke.
Oh, thank you, Don.
Oh, hi, Julia. Oh, these guys. Hi, fellas. Hey, John Wayne, the Duke, was speaking about you guys moments ago.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Who's not at the microphone? There he is.
Hi, buddy. And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Guys in Time. And all the ships at sea, firemen just carried them in on nets. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Julia. Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Monday.
Monday.
Monday, 06-14-04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz. Thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode this Monday. It's June 14th, 20-04. Call us from anywhere in America.
All right.
At 877-365-3636 from Canada. You have to call 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C. on WJFK-FM. Call us at 202-432-1067. Well, do we sound different?
Yes.
I'll tell you. I think we do.
I'll tell you why we might sound different.
Oh, yeah. How do you mean?
I'll tell you why we might sound a little different.
All right, we sound different today.
We're all wearing neckties.
Businessman.
One more person says to me.
One more person says to me,
are you looking for a job or. Wow.
Yeah.
Like
there's some rule that we don't have jackets in our closet.
My God, not only has it bathed, but look, it's got a regular shirt on, and my God, some kind of cloth tied around its neck.
I didn't think that when I was older that I would feel crappy in ties. I hate them now.
Mm-hmm. I used to love them. You love it. You wear them
every day if you could.
You bet. You know why? You look like $1 million. You feel like $1 million.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. And I was watching.
I used to love it as much as you do. I don't love it anymore.
I was watching a movie this weekend starring Fat Alec Baldwin. Mm-hmm. The great Fat Alec Baldwin.
The cooler. Yeah.
The cooler. And Alec Baldwin, who, you know, I think I can say this safely. Is as fat as we are.
Alec Baldwin is tough, though, because you'll see Alec Baldwin one moment, and then you'll see him the next.
Yeah, but
and we saw him on that.
On the Sharon Osbourne show.
Which had to be his biggest. And then I saw him on another show.
Now in the cooler.
And he looks slender.
Yeah. Here's how he can look slender. By dressing, you know, as we're dressed today.
Right.
When you're dressed like a professional and you're not advertising the fact that you're a big, lazy slob.
Right.
Like we do, you know, with the exception of Buzz, who comes in with his petite shirts on.
Yeah,
and
Buzz puts a little effort into it. You and I, you know, comfort first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Still, people say, wow, because they're not used to seeing us, especially me and Mike, I think, at this point, in ties.
Right. Anyway, Alec Baldwin pulls it off in this movie, The Cooler, and he looks to me to be just as big and fat as he was on Sharon Osbourne.
Doesn't happen. Now, what is The Cooler?
The Cooler is a movie about Vegas. He runs an. I'm surprised you never saw it. I'm surprised you didn't know that. I'm surprised I didn't see it when it was in the theaters, actually.
Small.
Yeah, it was like an independent film.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, that's what he was promoting on Sharon
Osbourne.
Oh, really? The Cooler?
Right. Yeah. Alec Baldwin runs Shangri-La.
And it was highly reviewed.
In Las Vegas. And
highly reviewed. Got great reviews.
Yeah, William Macy is in it, the guy from Fargo. And Alec Baldwin has this look about him during the entire movie. And he's got, he's not doing the over-the-top Robert De Niro in Casino.
Yeah, that was a silly look.
Style of dressing.
That was a cartoon look.
He's doing like a 2004 update of that where, you know, he's. Let me just say, I'm really sounding like a queer eye for the DJ guy here.
That's
but
right.
He's not afraid to wear a purple shirt and a lime tie And he really pulls it off, especially in the theme when he takes the couple. I don't want to ruin the movie for
right?
him.
Right, no, I'll go see. Was it out on cable now?
Yes, it's on pay-per-view. It's been in Blockbuster. He looks stunning in the thing when he has the man and the pregnant woman, and they want a big hand from the house, and he takes them in the back room, and he just beats the bejesus out of them.
Oh, really?
Wow. He does.
Wow.
Turns out she's not pregnant, though. Oh. So don't worry about that. It's a pillow.
Oh, okay.
It's just a pillow. But while he's beating them with a metal, big metal tool
pipe
thing,
whatever.
The pipes or whatever they are, stunning. Stunning.
Looks good.
I got to see this movie.
It's a lime green tie and it's a purple shirt.
Did Buzz say the word? I might have heard it in passing, and it's an H word. Did he say it?
I didn't hear it. What was it?
No, I don't think so, Robin.
Okay, I thought I heard it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I didn't hear it.
Don't worry about
no.
it.
No.
What word? Is it a dirty word?
No, it's an alarm word.
It's a word that sets off an alarm.
Right. I did not say that.
Oh,
he didn't say it.
Okay.
And if you
if Buzz said he drove a Hummer, but he used an A instead of a hammer.
You didn't say it?
I didn't say it.
Let's see.
I just said it.
Someone. But he said it. Oh, you said it, so you triggered it. Yeah.
But officially, Buzz didn't say it.
Click, click, click.
Very there sensitive it goes. Hair trigger.
So anyway, here we go. We're all dressed up. We're going out to dinner tonight. We all have ties on, and people are treating
tonight?
Us. Yeah, it's tonight. That's why you're dressed up, Mike.
Oh, okay.
People are treating us differently. And I like to think.
Last time we did something like this? I was thinking about that. I was saying to my girlfriend that this is a very, very exciting night because we didn't get one of our road trips when we normally are. We're technically kind of forced to go out together.
Mm-hmm.
This is by choice. Everybody was invited by Don, and we all could make it. And I'm kind of jacked for it because it's a real, local boys' night out, which I think is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's right. It's a charity gala for the Lombardi Cancer.
And thank you for inviting all of us.
Oh, don't mention it. It's a write-off. The Lombardi Cancer Foundation. And it's a men's only event.
That's very cool.
Men only.
Excellent.
Men. We are men.
And I hope some of them were as bold and brazen as I've tried to be today, wearing colors, wearing bright, distinctive colors, like Alec Baldwin.
I think you're.
In the cooler.
I think you're very conservative.
Oh no! I think that this.
I mean, I don't think you're out of line.
I think this shirt screams.
It's burgundy.
It's not burgundy.
I know what you're doing.
Sparkly.
I know what you're doing.
Sparkly burgundy.
I know what you're doing.
What am I doing?
I know what you're doing.
What am I doing?
I know what you're doing.
No, I'm not. You know what I'm doing?
I know what you're doing. What are you doing? You're doing Redskins colors. It's a football thing down in downtown.
Oh,
subconsciously.
No.
Burgundy and gold.
Now, hold on.
Oh, come on.
My pants are green.
But the shirt.
The shirt.
We're gonna go. You know what? Your outfit says.
Oh, that was not the intent.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was not
the green
intent.
Pants. Maybe.
Oh, sorry.
I was really going for the Alec Baldwin cooler look.
Yeah.
Oh, you were?
No, I just watched the movie today.
I gotta watch that movie because I'd like to dress like Alec.
Listen, this weekend, just a couple of things to tell you about. Oh, and Rob, stand by for action. Rob Spiewak. We'll be coming under the Don and Mike Show hot, bright lights.
Really?
How have I not learned that no good can come of wives getting together?
Oh, my God.
I should have learned that years ago.
I know.
Now, let me just tell you first.
You don't have any choice, though.
No. We don't.
It's bad. It's like Russian roulette.
That's right.
Roulette.
We don't have a tape from the Funny Cunny convention this weekend.
What happened?
The tape recorder broke.
Oh, dear.
Tape recorder broke.
Did it slip out of wine? Wine-drenched hands?
Well, it may have been more than wine-drenched hands, because I understand that this weekend, while they went away, my wife and Rob's wife, Frida taught Terry how to use a beer bong.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's not right. I didn't even know Frida knew how to do that.
Well, of course she does, Mike. She's been around the world.
Is that the thing where you punch the bottom of the can?
That shotgun, Mike. Ah. This is something that you buy. We've confiscated these from our from our kid,
right? Kept them for your
like last year during spring break.
During
senior week.
I would think I would know this. I don't think I know what a beer bong is.
No.
Well, it's
do I, Rob?
No, you wouldn't need to, because people like you and I, we don't need gimmicks or tricks or games to teach us how to get drunk.
Even when I was in college.
It's a big plastic tube that has a funnel on the end of it.
Uh-huh.
And you put the thing in your mouth and they just pour the beer in. It's go all the way down.
The funnel and tube hold 12 ounces of beer. And when they raise it above your head, gravity forces it down your throat.
Oh, okay.
It serves the same purpose as my right arm.
So my wife pulled this thing out, and the next thing you know, Carrie's drinking, and they're having fun, and they're conversing, and one of the things I guess that is mentioned between these two is the carries. Now, Rob, I'm just going to tell you the way my wife told me this. Okay, and sadly, my wife is at work now. She can't join us to give us all of the details, but I did get this. Carrie says to her, "You want to know something funny about Rob?" And she says, "Of course I do." She says, Rob maintains that he lettered in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And Frida said, "So what?" And then I guess Carrie went on to tell her that Carrie herself lettered in high school, running track or something like that.
Wow. Lettered in high school?
I think she was field hockey, I think. Yeah, but wow. I was a, if you want to be technical, I was a letterman. Sure.
And here's the best part.
I'm fascinated.
Here's the best part. Now, you tell me if you've ever heard of this. Rob lettered. And Carrie, and now, if I'm telling this wrong, you tell me, Rob, okay. or I'll get my wife or your wife on the phone.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about like a sport where you get a letter to put on your jacket.
A letter. Right. The technical word for letter. You get a letter if you play and make any varsity level team on a high school.
The
right.
Red letter M for Madison High School.
Now,
Go Warhawks.
Now,
not,
see
not
if
junior
you can
varsity,
guess.
Not freshmen.
Now,
have to play varsity.
Right? As somebody who, I'm sure you like me, Mike. In high school, when I played a JV football, I don't know how it worked at your school, you just got a tiny little letter put on your jacket.
You get the big one when you go to the varsity.
When you go to the varsity, and if you get it, especially if you were a slug like me, a guy that was lucky to be on the football team because they needed a center,
right.
And everybody hated me, but for some reason, when I had this jacket with the letter on it, it was cool. You became cool. And it was something that I strove for. I mean, did you strive for this when you were a kid, or did you take it for granted?
I lettered in hockey at Glastonbury High School, the Tomahawks, but I'm trying to remember if I even wore anything with it on there.
It mattered to me because I wanted a jacket.
It was a big deal because we wore our hockey jerseys on game day to school. That was a big deal, and I'm... Man.
But see, what I wanted was the Magruder...
You wanted a letter jacket.
Jacket, and right. I had to wait till my sophomore year to get it. And anyway, Rob had it, and the sport that Rob allegedly got a letter for...
Well, I have the letter.
...that he could put on his letterman's jacket.
All right, now I know...
The sport is improv theater.
That's among the things. It was an overall letter.
For forensics.
Now, I don't know
if it helps in retrospect, but I never wore the letter. I did get it.
Frida, are you sure it wasn't F for faggot?
Hey.
Frida says to me, she says,
they give you a letter for theater?
Sure.
I lettered in debate.
Faggot. You're kidding me.
No, the big letter.
You're kidding. You got the same letter as a jock got?
Yes, I did.
That's not right. That is not right.
I didn't wear it either.
Yeah, because we're too cool to wear it.
That's right.
No, you were afraid to wear it.
They would have kicked my ass. I thought about putting it on my denim jacket as a mark of rebellion.
I have never heard of such an animal.
Maybe it happens, but I sure didn't hear of intramural team.
How it works, because as one of my jobs, I was the historian of the thespian troop. And one of my jobs was keeping track of all the points. And you get a certain amount of points for certain theater-related deeds.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you reached, I think it was 75 points, you lettered in theater. And it took me 3 years to do it.
But you did it.
Yeah. You just set out to do something, and you do it.
We're a letterman.
Would you just skip the part about what it was and just say I lettered in high school?
No, that's too funny. I know it is funny.
That's too funny. It took 3 years to get it.
How did it take three years to get it? Well, you only get a certain number of points for certain things that you do.
Right.
But I was on the theater sports team.
I don't even remember. I know I got one. I remember I lettered in hockey, and that's all I remember.
My football one was everything to me. I mean, at the time, looking back, boy, I never got in a fight in high school, but I would have beat the snot out of you. I really would have.
I remember just making the varsity, because, I mean, I had gotten cut from varsity baseball, and it crushed me, and then I went into hockey after that, and you know, it meant a lot to me to get that letter.
No one ever, I think... picked on me much.
Did they?
certainly not.
I was in theater, too.
You see, you
very active in theater. I didn't get any letter.
Did you not have an active thespian troupe?
We did
shows.
Now, did Robbie?
Maybe we didn't.
Did they give you? How did they give you the letter? Because I remember
they just handed it to me. Yeah. It was like a ceremony or anything.
But the football team probably sent for your hockey team. It was like some type of a pep rally where it would be. Uh-huh. I remember it was a big deal. They call your name up in front of everybody, and
you know, I
you get
really
presented
don't
your letter.
I don't know. Maybe I just thought it was. My memory is wearing the jerseys on game day, and I felt so proud of that. That was proud. And I had a letter jacket that I didn't wear. I couldn't even tell you where it is.
I think they presented me mine at a fondue party. I could be wrong. No, they just handed it to me because I reached level. I think it was 70 points. Or
see, I remember because mine's the only thing that even got me remotely close to being in the cool club. I was never the cool club. No. That's the only thing that I did that would allow me to hang around with these slugs that I thought were cool.
I was fortunate because I was in the cool club because I knew the class of 76. I hung out, and I had more friends in the senior class when I was a junior than I had in my own class. And so that made me instantly cool. And then the next year, I mean, forget about it. It was great when I was, you know, it was great. But it was a little letdown because I was closer to the class ahead of me than the class that I was in.
For what it's worth, I was the coolest in the theater department.
I was the cool guy in debate. I won trophies for my school.
Debating. You won trophies debating?
Yeah. Yes.
I won medals in the theater.
Homo.
What were you? Were you voted class clown?
No, I never made that because that was all wrapped up by the guys in the student government.
Were you class clown?
No, no way.
Were you, Mike?
Yeah,
right.
I didn't get.
I really did what I was supposed to do in high school.
Yeah. You were a superlative.
I was a superlative class clown.
Yeah, not me.
I did what I was supposed to do. I'll tell you what, and I'll trump all of you guys. You know the coolest thing?
What?
Is when you're out of high school, when your friends are still there, because I got out early.
Right.
Because I was so scary smart, I wasn't.
And you did the disc jockey.
Yes, and to come back on a vacation. Like my senior year in high school.
With a car.
Driving by like at noon in a car.
Beeping?
Yeah, and you know, just pulling by.
Here's a high school.
Not thing. Having a clue what I was doing in life, but just loving the fact that suddenly the letter jacket meant nothing anymore.
Right. Oh, absolutely. That now, goes away very. That's why I don't remember it.
I got a Trans Am now.
Sure.
Check it out.
You don't get that for 70 thespian points.
Hold on. Mike, are you ready to be floored like I'm ready to be floored? Listen to this. Hold on. For anybody who ever thought that letterman's jacket meant anything.
Yeah.
Rick, what did you letter in?
Jazz ensemble.
Jazz ensemble. I'm a musician. Good for you. Well, obviously, all the arts are represented schools on the letter jacket.
Hello, Dominique.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike? How you doing?
What did you letter in, dude?
I didn't actually letter in anything, but I'm just sort of calling to back up Rob's claim. I'm another proud Madison grad, and we do have a letter for forensics.
What class? What year?
99.
You know,
a letter for forensics?
Like, they have a letter. They also have a letter.
Drama.
Well, I was thinking like CSI. Weren't you thinking like?
Yeah, so was I. What it's forensic drama.
Also means speech, debate, and drama.
See, I guess I came from a school where I didn't know that. So that's and I went to college. I didn't know that.
Hey, Dominique, you probably could have gotten a letter in having a chick's name.
Actually, you mispronounced it. My name is Dominic.
How do you spell it? Into the English language. How do you spell forensics?
Hold on, because it says on the screen your name is spelled Dominique.
No, that would be if I was a frog, but I'm Italian, so I spell it Dominic.
Oh, Dominic.
Oh, all right. Let's see. I would have known.
Dominic.
That. All right, Dominic.
I'm totally. This is new. Such an educational broadcast. Forensics is speech, debate, drama?
Forensic, first definition, an argumentative exercise.
Well, it's forensic medicine, but they shorten
and
it to
forensics. But what about forensic science?
Where you study like the crime scenes and stuff.
I think CSI, who doesn't watch CSI? Like they say, give me the forensic evidence.
The spelling on it?
Same. The same as
F-O-R-E-N-S-I-C?
Right.
Because they're arguing the case using the evidence, so it is forensic.
Okay, all right. God, this is all new to me.
I will say the most embarrassing or humbling thing is I was always sort of proud to get a job in what I set out to do when I left high school. And for our 10-year reunion, I was notified as one of the people, whatever happened to. So that's just to let you know.
Madison had a good football team, right? Good athletic program.
Yes.
Big school.
I attended many of the games.
Did you get a letter for that?
I never did, no.
Never did.
I could have cheered for them, though.
Did your school have an athletic program, Buzz?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. And music.
Do you have any interest in that, boy?
No, not really. I think that's one of the reasons I didn't wear the letter. Actually, not so much out of fear of beating up, because, you know, that was going to happen anyway. But because I didn't want to be confused with a jock.
And why would you not? Let me speak.
Hey, well, because the center on the basketball team?
Well, I would imagine you didn't want to be confused with a jock, because if you did get confused, you might get...
Someone would out you on that.
Right, exactly.
Someone, you'd say, hey...
And then that would lead to the beating.
They'd say, what sport do you play?
Right.
And you would say, debating. Yeah,
exactly.
Say, here, debate this.
Yes.
That's unfortunate.
It is.
I mean, if you earn it, you ought to be able to wear it. But I never was aware of that. No, they had a... No, you know what? They had a... I thought letters are athletic.
Yeah, right. No, Mike.
Badges.
No, if you get a letter, you're only allowed to wear it if you want it out there on the field.
God, I wish I knew where mine was, because I know I had it at home. Maybe it's at home.
I think mine's at home in the basement somewhere. Maybe I should wear it now.
I'll tell you, here's where I can trump you guys again. I've got mine, and you know why I've got mine? Because my parents hate me and sent me all of my stuff that I ever had when I was a kid in a box.
Yeah, I got mine.
I got it.
All my stuff is back at home. So I'll go through the thing with
lucky.
Me. Still have mine, I think.
That ended up being a real lucky break for me.
You have your letter.
That thing with my parents.
Man, I wish I knew where that was.
Who's this? Hold on. Where's Aaron? Aaron? Aaron lost him. Aaron let it. Call back, Aaron.
What did Aaron let her in?
I want Aaron to tell
us. Okay. Yeah, you know it's good. You know it's good when you want Aaron to tell us.
I don't know if he's going to call back.
Okay.
It said it was a man lettered in home ec.
No way.
Call back, Aaron.
Unless they have intramural competitions, I don't see how.
Hello, Roger.
It buzzes all about his debating competition.
Don and Mike, hello.
My brother.
Hi there.
I got the best one. Well, I thought I did until I heard about his home ec one. All right. I lettered in chess club.
Chess club, okay.
Is sport?
Yeah, well, right, that's
I guess
sport.
Anything where you represent your school
right.
In
competition. But, Rob, wait a minute. That leaves somebody out.
No. Because we competed in theater sports.
What are theater sports?
Why don't I shut up? But I might as well jump in the hole.
Time for the theater sports competition.
I go forth and longeth, and I will hit it by.
It's an improv contest, something that you all would really hate. But given variables and challenges, and you have to make up scenes on the spot.
Yes.
Would you compete against other schools?
Yes, it was countywide. We're
very
good.
Was it judged, or was it judged by
Yes, it was judged by a panel of three judges.
Really?
And it had a referee in case we violated rules.
Really?
And we gold medaled. We were the best in the county.
Can you imagine getting up, the quarterback getting up, calling signals of that line of scrimmage. Pinocchio! Bambi! Moby Dick!
What's really sad in retrospect is at the time we really thought it mattered.
Right.
And really in retrospect it was just stupid. But we were the best of all the idiots.
That's amazing.
All right, maybe here's the best and then we can end this topic. Okay, Rob, you've proven to us that you in fact did letter in something that was... but listen to this guy, John.
Hey.
John, what did you letter in?
I lettered in spelling.
Spelling.
Wow.
So you would have, what, B's against other schools?
No, it was a bad joke, actually.
No, dude.
Probably possible, though.
Nope, that is a big, big violation.
Hey, dude, let's see. Lettered in spelling. John.
Yes.
John, need your last name, or at least the initial of your last name, John.
T.
John T.
John T. John T. Area code 410. That's Baltimore, right?
No, that's Southern Maryland.
Southern Maryland.
Close enough.
Okay.
Yeah, I made you guys laugh a couple of times in the past.
Oh, what a shame.
Oh, we won't be able to do it again.
And we've enjoyed those times, John.
Thank you, dude.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
There you go, pal.
You've been selected as a charter member in the Don and Mike Exclusive Listeners Club.
Good for you.
You are now a registered Don and Mike caller and are entitled to all the privileges that come with said title. Be sure to watch your mailbox for your registered Don and Mike caller sign.
It's for your neighbors.
Which is to be placed prominently in your front yard.
For your neighbors.
You have been profiled, tagged, and you are now in the book. Good day. I said good day, sir.
Good day.
Good day.
Good day.
John?
It's an honor. It is an honor.
What's
really
his number?
Is.
John, are you still a good speller?
No, not really.
Maybe you could spell 000-00-0017.
Yeah, there you go.
And John, and boy, you know, hey, how about the restraint that we've had since the advent of the book?
Yeah, only 17 people
have
the book.
You know, that's like... frying people down in Texas.
It's a deterrent.
You know, we could do it. We could be like Texas.
No, but we mete out our justice in a very responsible way.
We do it. Now you're fried. John, that's it. You're in the book. But as always, we give you one last parting shot to
yes.
say whatever it is you would like to say.
Go ahead, John.
Well...
Yep. And there you someday go. They'll figure that out.
They never will.
No, I don't think so.
They never will.
We have to
take a break. If we do that here, I know it will help us later in the show.
Excellent.
It's not me talking, it's the necktie. If
right.
I didn't have the necktie, we'd go 10 extra minutes.
Yeah, you're being real responsible.
The necktie is saying, take the break 10 minutes late. Don't take the break 20 minutes late.
And that's very 50s of you calling it a necktie.
What would you call it?
Tie.
Well, what does it hang around?
A neck.
Okay.
Necktie.
Necktie. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did I not clearly explain the circle of trust to you, Greg?
Yeah, I think I got it.
Then is there something you want to tell me?
I don't think so.
See, if I can't trust you, Greg, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle. And once you're out, you're out. There's no coming back.
Well, I would definitely like to stay inside the circle.
Well, then tell me the truth.
Jack, I don't know what we're talking about.
All right, now look, Fokker. I'm a patient man. That's what 19 months in a Vietnamese prison camp will do to you. But I will be watching you, studying your every move. And if I find that you are trying to corrupt my firstborn child, I will bring you down, baby. I will bring you down to Chinatown.
The Don and Mike Show.
Now, even moister, the Don and Mike Show.
Right. Oh, do I love this. Send this out to Detroit Pistons. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Billy Ocean.
Run around town like
yeah. Yeah, good song.
Hey, what's that Fokker movie coming out? What's the new one coming out?
This summer.
Summer?
This summer.
You don't have to wait for Paul?
I don't think so.
Good.
Although, you know, you never know with the movies. They might wait and pull it back.
I can change it. I hope it's good.
We have a new game we'll play later on today's show.
Oh, good.
The game is called I Am a Dick.
Yes, I think you're going to enjoy it.
Huh. Don't hit the dump button.
No.
But that's the name of the game. We will play it later. I mentioned the Detroit Pistons. What a great game last night. Oh, fantastic. Watch the Lakers lose.
You're caught up in Piston fever.
I am. It's exciting because throughout the entire NBA season, which I did not pay a lot of attention to, it was just a given. It was going to be the Lakers or the Spurs or the Kings. And whoever they played for the East, it wouldn't matter.
Right.
Because they were going to lose. And it's great to see the Lakers lose and to see them bickering, and it's just fantastic.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. The Lakers a little bit like the Yankees of basketball. Wouldn't that be accurate, where they're really expected to win? Aren't they kind of probably not as talent-laden?
No, and they're not even like the Bulls were.
You know? Really?
I mean, the Bulls were closer to the Yankees. So it's exciting. If I could just take a moment, though, to give a wake-up call to Joe Albritton.
Oh, hi, Albritton.
Hey, Albritton. He's the
Come
guy.
Come on now, get your act together.
He's the guy. He's one of these guys. He owns Channel 7, the ABC station here in D.C., where we live.
Mm-hmm.
WJLA are these stations' call letters because this guy apparently swims in Lake Mee all the time. Those are his initials.
Yes, right. So that's very exciting.
Because he's an important man.
Nice monogram.
Well, here's the deal, Albritton. How about turn on... And I'm not kidding about this. It's not like when I will call a TV station and say, you're not running the right show. Seriously, Channel 7. You know what they did during the finals last night?
What'd they do?
They did not turn on their high-def channel.
Oh, dear.
They broadcast on... I know I'm speaking to a small group of people.
Yeah, but people that are into basketball and have that technology.
And high-def is great, and I planned my whole evening around it.
Right.
Sat down.
Yeah, if you have it, and they're broadcasting the game in high-def, you want to see it.
Of course they are. The little bar on the top of the screen where it tells you what it says, you know, presented in high-def. And then I'm trying to figure this thing out, and I'm going, well, now there must be something wrong with my system.
Mm-hmm.
So... The next thing, this is last night at 8:30. I am up on my roof with the trying
now
to...
Now, that's dangerous.
Well, no, I'm just leaning out of a window where
it's thunderstorm season.
Where you can get out to where the dish is. And as far as I can tell, Everything's perfect. I go back downstairs. I get every goddamn channel except Channel 7 High Def. And then
I mentioned this marquee broadcast for them as well.
I mentioned this to Rob, and Rob says, because I guess he knows more about this than I do, what was wrong with Channel 7 last night?
Oh, I don't know the problem. I think the problem is they just didn't turn it on. They have got a bad history of the worst high def record in the city.
Do we even know, though, is it a matter of turning it on, or could it be?
Well, yes, we know it is. We know
it's like a big switch.
We know it is.
A Frankenstein switch.
We know it is because 2 years ago, when there was the first Super Bowl ever in high def,
right?
Channel 7 didn't turn it on. Turn on the high def till Saturday night.
And so in other words, they're not sending a signal out to their UHF
Just bought a high def television. I invited like 10 people over for the Super Bowl, and I was, you know, checking all the stuff out, and I go to a high def program on Saturday morning, and there's like nothing.
And they've done this more than once.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they do it all the time, and it's dumb Channel 7, so hey, all Britain.
And they don't even broadcast in true high def anyway. They do the cheap high def, but that's just splitting hairs.
All right, now you are splitting hairs.
I don't care for all Britain.
But I just wanted to see the game in high def, and it's just stupid Channel 7 didn't turn it off. And then
baseball game was in high def last night.
The other on ESPN.
Yeah.
See, that's great.
They said it wouldn't be on the guide.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching it on another set, but it sure looked like it was being broadcast. You know, when you see it on another set that's not high def, but you can tell how sharp it is, it looks like a high def signal. That's what I thought.
Well, that's never been touched by James Albright. Joe Albright,
I believe is his name. Also about local television,
uh-huh.
And maybe you can use this in whatever city you're listening to us in, because TV is the same everywhere. It's the same crap. It's the same happy, you know, fake people reading you the news, telling you why, on one hand, everything's great. On the other hand, you should die, so don't.
I'll take a look at these tornadoes. Look at the shots of these tornadoes we got here. We're going to show you some pictures of tornadoes.
Don't tune out. Here's a picture of a killer tornado in Kansas.
Right.
You know, there's always the chance we could get a tornado. You know, yeah, and there's always a chance that, you know, a giant, you know, like Armageddon, a meteor is going to fall from the
here's
sky.
Here's a picture of the guy that got a picture of the tornado, and he got hit by lightning at the same time. Let's see what he has to say.
Well, the headline in the newspaper says Channel 5 dominates local Emmys.
Oh.
And I only bring this to your attention because this to me is, let's hear it for Channel 5. This is like the Jive DJ Radio Awards that Mike and I refuse to get into, uh-huh, because you have to nominate yourself to get an award.
Right.
You have to be such a jerk face that you're not happy enough with your own life.
And we're not big enough, stars or celebrities where we have people that do that. You know, when you talk about movies, they all do the self-promotion thing.
Right.
They all submit for your approval, but you know what? We're not doing it ourselves.
No.
And we've never had a support structure that would submit things for us.
And listen, let's be honest. Does local TV really need that?
No.
Does local radio need that? No.
Does local TV deserve?
No.
No.
So here's the headline. Channel 5 dominates local Emmy Awards.
Uh-huh.
But then you have to do some research. And you find out that Channel 5 won. Hold on. How many did they totally win? I think they won, it would be right on the front page. Tracy Neal wins. They won the most. They won 16.
Wow.
They won 16 Emmys.
Incredible.
The tassel.
Now, you know, to win an Emmy Award, you have to nominate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Channel 5, which dominated with 16, nominated 90 different people for Emmy Awards.
90?
90 nominations they submitted themselves.
You got to play to win.
How jive is that?
Now, Channel 7, the station I was just yelling about for not turning their high def on, maybe they weren't turning their high def on because they were second. They submitted themselves 53 times.
53!
For Emmy Awards.
But if you watch the Channel 5 broadcast in our fair city, you know it is the most entertaining newscast we have.
It is,
I agree. Yeah, because if it bleeds, it leads.
And that's the same sort of theory that says they're just having around having
a they're on an hour earlier.
Get ourselves some awards. The Will Thomas Day.
And then on occasion, you get something like this, where the news guy from the sports guy from Channel 5 also won
the best
sportscaster award.
Yeah. Who is this? Who is
Dave Feldman?
Red.
Or as they affectionately call him, because you know they're all friends on Channel 5.
Yes,
Feldy. Hey, Feldy.
Feldy.
I understand the Skins were at Mindy Camp today. Feldy, how's it looking out there?
Feldy.
Oh dear.
Anyway, he won the Emmy. Congratulations to him for best sportscaster.
Sure.
Who was he up against?
Well, I'll read you
who are the sports guys in Washington?
I'll read you the paragraph here. WTTG Channel 5's Dave Feldman easily claimed the honor of Best Sports Anchor, since he was the only nominee in the category.
Ah, congratulations, Feldman.
Wow, so that means that their sports departments at the other stations didn't even submit their guy?
Didn't care. I know. Funny, and you'll see the ads now, you know, saying Channel 5 is, you know, your Emmy winner. Keep in mind, Channel 5, that's not a pretty good on-base percentage. They entered 90 times and only won 16 times.
Yeah, not good at all.
That's not a very good on, you know. You wouldn't
really, and I don't think they should get Emmys for local. I think Emmys ought to be national.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get, excuse me, I just had
they tell you TV is TV.
There you go. It would just, went right back
they
down.
They should get letters.
You know, you, yeah, thank you, Buzz. They should get.
I lettered in local television.
Yes, they should get letters. Okay, so that's that. That's the local TV. And Channel 7, turn on the goddamn high def for tomorrow night, because I'm pretty sure that the Pistons are going to close it out tomorrow night.
Well, since we're on the subject, too, just want to say to the weather guys, great forecast for the weekend. You know, great telling us it was going to be kind of damp in the morning, and then maybe a chance of sun on Saturday when it was sunny and glorious all day, and then telling us it was going to warm up a little bit and be warm and sunny when all the clouds came in. It was actually cold and cloudy on Sunday.
Just, you know, a minor thing, but wrong again. I just wanted to say, really,
that's universal.
Wrong again.
Sure.
You are really, I think you're really, if you hear the forecast on Monday, and you know what, maybe I will, as my own little hobby, start tracking it and just get one guy. And focus. Who would that guy be? If
no,
I wanna,
you won't. I
if
wish,
I want to focus
I wish you
on,
would.
On the Monday forecast.
Tom Sater on Channel 5.
On Channel 5?
Can you, hold on. What's your schedule for tracking a weather guy? You want to track a morning guy, a night guy?
I would like to track a night guy.
Okay, a night guy. Sam. How about Sam Palko on Channel 5, 10 o'clock?
Channel
news.
5, I'll go over there, and all I have to do is check her Monday forecast on the 7 day and see what she's saying for Saturday, and then compare it and see how it goes.
Speaking of weather. Another of Channel 5's winners, Channel 5, the station that nominated themselves.
Did Wilma win anything?
90 times. Wilma Thomas did not win.
That's
fun. Oh, you know what?
The crime is what it is.
It's not fair.
Someday.
She's not about the awards.
Someday we're going to remember to run tape. There's a guy named Will Thomas who is the most effeminate man. He's got to be like a G.I. Joe if you ever took his slacks off. He's the weekend anchor on the Fox 5 News. And he is the most, now he doesn't lisp, but he is the most effeminate man I have ever seen.
He would be, if he did a drag show, I think he would be great at it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm watching this guy last night.
Don't I think about it.
Doing the news. And he's one of these guys that always makes a comment, like, they're done with a story about a family that was hit by a fire and the community helped them out, and he comes back and goes, you know, it really is great when everybody can get together and work as one. Mm-hmm. And then he looks at, you know, at the blonde, you know, the statuesque worked on blonde.
Yeah.
He goes, yes, it is. And he goes, just makes you feel good to be a member of the community. Say, Steve, what's happening in the weather center?
LD, what's happening in sports?
Everything with this guy, everything, he's making a remark after almost every story because the guy's trying so hard.
Right.
He wants so much for people to think that he's really into this crap. That
he's an anchor man.
He's reading off the teleprompter. And he is the most effeminate man in the history of television.
But he's also, if he's not at the desk, he tries super hard when he's in the field in the turtleneck.
Right.
When he's, like, examining how to escape a burning house. Or
he's going down, like, in the middle of gang warfare.
Oh, and does he love...
No, street racing.
Street racing, Mike, and tricked out cars.
Yeah.
That was during Sweet.
He was down there. Put him down in the middle of that.
What did he do? Was it tornadoes when they had him under the ping pong table? I can't remember, but so many great images in my mind.
Wilma Thomas.
And he does love during a crisis when he's able to go casual. Mm-hmm. Like when there was a power outage.
But you know what?
He's able to wear jeans.
Here's the deal. We're talking about him. He brings something to the table.
Yes,
he's not like the millions of guys that are just suits up there talking heads.
But you want to get a real rating on Channel 5? You want to get an Emmy? I guarantee you do an expose tonight. You put Wilma on, you just have to pull down his pants.
Well, you can't do that on television.
But I'm telling you, there would be no problem with the FCC.
It would be like some
sort
of alien. Right.
Smooth, like G.I. Joe.
Nothing I've seen.
Nothing down there. Channel 5. Oh, the weather. Here you go. Here you go from the local Emmys. Another of the winners from Channel 5 was weathercaster Sue Palka.
Right.
Oh, she won? Yes, we refer to as Sam because he's like a woman and she's like a man.
Amen.
Sam Palka, who beat out a coworker. Can you imagine these guys just...
So, like, none of the other ones nominated anybody?
I don't know. Here's the quote, though, from Sue Palka. And keep in mind, she just won a local Emmy Award,
right?
I wish this had gone to Gwen Tolbert. That's her second in command on her weather team. But then she says,
so humble.
On the other hand, I haven't had one in a while.
Oh,
yeah, right.
All right.
That's nice, honey.
Could you read it again in her voice?
Sure.
I wish this had gone to Gwen Tolbert. On the other hand, my jacket just killing me.
Come on, get out of here.
Local news.
Yeah.
We hate it.
You're good with numbers, Rob.
Yeah.
Let's say if you're, this is worse than Shaquille O'Neal. If you're at the free throw line 90 times and you only make 16.
20%, roughly.
20%.
Wow. 20%.
How about running that as an ad on Channel 5? We won 20% of the Emmy Awards that we nominated ourselves for.
And that we're touting ourselves for.
We lost 4 out of every 5 Emmy.
Hey, there you go, Buzz. See, you know what that is? That's the tie working, Buzz.
Right.
That's your necktie talking.
It's the button-down mind of Buzz Burbank.
The problem would be batting 200 and batting for you.
There you go. they're all, and don't they all get together and have a big ceremony, too?
Yeah, it's
big
just them.
Big self-congratulatory ceremony.
It's just them. It's all the TV people. And imagine the
great bitter monitor reading, too. Thank you, Feldy.
Imagine the level of angst from those who nominated themselves, went to this little soiree,
and then
didn't win.
Yeah.
How's it feel, Arch?
It's the last time when we got one of these things a long time ago. Like they called it an air award.
Right.
The only way they got us to go to this thing in the first place, and it was the first year they had it?
Uh-huh.
It was the first year they had it. We never went afterwards. The only way they got us to go was because they told us we won.
That was the biggest mistake.
Yeah. And then we were the worst winners in the world.
Well, there was alcohol involved.
We're so non-gracious.
We had been drinking all day at this table at this restaurant.
We started to stand up when they were reading the nominees.
And by the time they got done reading the list of nominees,
we were at the bottom of the stairs.
Just waiting to get our awards.
So obnoxious.
And we were booed. Booed by our peers.
We were
peers.
Booed lustily.
Booed by our peers.
Who presented lustily. You?
Larry, I think. Larry King had something to do with it.
Yes, really? Yes.
Wow. Hi.
And I think when we got up there, we said something like, what are you booing at? We wouldn't have been here if they didn't tell us that we had won in advance or something like that.
And that didn't help the booing at all.
No.
What are you booing for? We wouldn't have come if we didn't know we were going to win. Boo!
What are you booing for?
Okay, so that's Channel 5 and Channel 7. I'm sure, listen, no matter where you're listening to, the same crap goes on.
Well, everybody's got the local language.
The TV's everywhere.
And I'm sure that in some markets they have somebody who's beloved. I don't think we have anybody in Washington that's beloved right now. I really don't.
No.
I mean, I think that we've...
George Michael! No,
he's not beloved.
He's well-known.
Yeah, you know, who's beloved is Tracy Neal, and she's not even on TV now.
I know, Tracy.
She's the sweetest, though.
That's a shame.
Oh. Nice to see that Gervier, though, hasn't been completely booted out of Channel 9.
Well, as soon as Tracy Neal gets her,
is she gone?
Fine black ass over there,
is she gone?
Gervier's out of Channel 9.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's happening at the politics.
When is Tracy coming to town? I mean, when is she going to be back on?
Well, this newspaper, she worked at Channel 5, and then she got a better job at Channel 9, but she had a no-compete in her contract.
Oh, that's how that works.
So the TV section of the paper says she's got to wait a couple more months before she's going to Channel 9.
I love her. I think she's the best.
And the problem there for us is that we don't have very many friends left in the television business, local TV business, and the anchor lady on Channel 9 is the girl that we believe is being canned for the girl from Channel 5.
Yes. Right. That's unfortunate. Well, maybe she'll go to Channel 5 or go somewhere else. And then there was Amy Roadblock, who is now...
on the Today Show.
Yes, she's on the Today Show.
And you know who else is on the Today Show? It's Melissa Stark.
Melissa Stark is on there.
And here's why... You know, no offense to Melissa Stark or any of you girls out there who think you can get into broadcasting. Good luck. I got a fantasy project going right now in the back room there. There's a girl back there that thinks she's producing this show. I got news for you. She's not wearing a necktie. Okay? No, I'm kidding, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, at least that's what I'll say.
Sure.
But here's the thing with Melissa Stark. I guess it was on Sunday when she was on the Weekend Today Show, and I turned it on to see the news, and she's the newsreader.
Right.
They've got they've got both of the people, the man and the woman on Weekend Today, both have hair lips. They got real bad. This is Lester Holt.
Fit the pipe.
And I'm Campbell Brown.
Fit the pipe.
And then they said, for the news, and here's the tape of Lester Holt.
I'm the beautiful lady from Chicago.
Right. So anyway, this is the point. They say, and for today's news, let's go to Melissa Stark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's sitting there. She looks good, just like she did on Monday Night Football. And she's reading the story. She's a good news reader.
Mm-hmm.
But my only memory of Melissa Stark, because I play Madden all the time.
Right.
She's still on that game, even though she got fired last year.
So you want to see her in the sports arena?
Oh, no, it's not where I want to see her. It's where I'm used to hearing her. Right. Anybody that plays Madden all the time, if you get a good play, if a guy gets injured, even if you're speeding up the game and hitting the A button as much as you can to keep it going,
right,
they end up working in. Even if you're in a two-minute offense, hurry-up offense, Al Michaels always still says, Melissa, what's the latest on the Titans sideline?
Sure.
Well, Al, the player has a torn left ligament.
So you can't. What is your point that you can't? You don't find her credible?
I can't stop when I hear her voice. All I think is.
It's the video game.
All I think is, Al, the coaches tell me that in the second half it's going to take a more diversified attack. Look for more running in the second half.
And then he goes.
That was Melissa Stark. Thank you, Melissa.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the problem is not with Melissa Stark.
Oh.
The problem would be with you.
Wow.
Yeah, because you've got that ingrained.
Yeah, well,
you want her to be trapped in your television.
No, you play your Madden as much as I do.
Right.
You play it as much as I do. Then tell me if you're not used to just hearing.
So you want her off the Today Show because she belongs back in your video game?
Yes, that's
right. I'm just trying to figure out where. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
That's what you want. That's where you want her.
She belongs on that disc that I put into the Xbox.
Nothing else.
That's where she lives. Even though I know she was fired last year.
Mm-hmm.
They had Lisa Guerrero last year. It wasn't even Melissa Stark.
Well, I like Melissa Stark, but I like Amy Roadblock a lot better. And is she auditioning for that show on the
weekend? She's working on MSNBC full-time.
Oh, okay.
That's what she's doing.
She's just easy on the eye.
I know a little bit too much about that girl, Amy Roadblock.
We tried how many times? She might be the local TV personality that we tried futilely to get on the show many, many times.
Uh-huh.
We were unsuccessful.
She used to be the girl in the helicopter.
Yeah. I believe the phrase rambling, disjointed message was invented for what you left on her voicemail several times.
Yeah, it scared her away permanently.
I believe so.
It was a nice message. She, please leave a voicemail. And we went, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Now it says here, Tracy Neal on the phone. I'm sure it's not.
All right.
I'm sure it's not.
Let's see.
I mean, if it was Tom, I'd tell you.
Right.
Hello?
Tracy Neal speaking.
Okay.
All right, no way.
Oh, no, not this guy again.
I'm here with Amy Roadblock right now.
That guy.
Okay, get out of here. Here's a guy, Chad.
Hi. It's Donna Mike. How's it going?
Hi, Chad. You're on the air.
I just thought it hilarious that you're talking about G.I. Joe Will Thomas, and I pulled up right next to him on the toll road right now. I'm right behind a Fox 5 News truck, and I pulled up beside it, and there's the She-Man sitting right in the passenger seat.
Are you kidding?
Nope, right in front of me right now.
He's in front of you? Is there any way you can pull up next to him and tell him, turn on 106.7?
Sure, let me see if I can do it real quick.
If you're now, are you sure it's him or her?
Oh, I'm positive. I pulled right by the driver's side and saw him.
That's not safe.
You can't mistake him at all, you know?
No.
Until they're 60 pounds, they're supposed to sit in the back
seat. Here, hold on one second.
This would be too great if you're really next to the Fox 5 van.
Okay. Hey, Will! Turning on 106.7! All right, there you go.
There you go.
Nice. He nodded his head and smiled at me. So
he nodded his head and smiled. All right, where are you located, and where is this Fox TV van?
I'm just passing Fox, right by Wolf Trap right now on the toll road.
On the toll road.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you, my friend.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Listen, Wilma, if you've just turned into 106.7.
Yeah, like he's going to do it because that guy said to.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he would. Maybe he would.
He might.
Maybe he would.
Right.
If he's one of these guys that thinks he's a real news guy.
Right, right.
Maybe
a news hound.
Maybe he would.
Right.
Hey, what's happening, Wilma? I love it when you wear jeans.
Amen, brother.
I love it when you casual it down.
And I know it's going to be 90 this week, Wilma, but more turtlenecks.
And hey, dude, anytime you want to come on the show and talk about whatever it is you eventually want to talk about.
Absolutely.
Let it be the Don and Mike show.
We're here.
Let us be your Barbara Walters, babe.
That's the way it works with these people, you know? We poke fun at them unmercifully, and then, they come on the show and things tend to work out.
Call in, Wilma. We'll swap some recipes.
You know, absolutely.
We'll have some fun. We'll talk about the Stepford Wives.
Right now, only one so far. Local TV personality, Gervier Dinza.
And she's on her way out.
She's a lame duck.
I did go to see the Stepford Wives this weekend.
Uh-huh.
with my own, I wish it was a Stepford Wife.
How'd you like it?
I hated it.
You hated it?
I know you saw it.
Yeah. I didn't hate it.
I hated it. God, it was awful. But I'll say this. I do a lot of complaining about crowds in theaters, and
right.
I guess it was the demographic. Of course, there were not a lot of people talking back to the theater.
Huh.
It was a very quiet, very well-behaved crowd.
Good.
There was only one problem in the movie. I swear to God, and this was the problem. It was so quiet in this movie. Not a lot of people were laughing at the Stepford Wife.
Right.
So it's just people sitting there. My child bride fell asleep.
Oh, dear.
And when she fell asleep, apparently because the night before when she had been with Rob's wife, she had a few too many, she started snoring. And there was a scene in the movie.
What do I care about ruining this movie for anybody?
But there was a scene, Mike, right after Matthew Broderick wants, what's her name, Nicole Kidman, to become a stepford.
Right.
When the dialogue got very, very quiet. And you could really hear a pin drop in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear... Now, it wasn't this loud, but... I'm telling you, 10 people turned around and gave us a look like one of us had just said something. And I said... too loudly, it's not me, it's my wife that's snoring. And at that minute, she woke up.
And then trouble ensued.
Well, she didn't know what was happening.
Yeah,
she,
right.
She,
you know, I never talked about it, but I had seen this movie on Friday. I know we wanted to wait till Monday to talk about it, but I had seen it on Friday, and I had one of your moments in the theater. It wasn't an altercation, but it was just a, where I turned completely around, and I said in a very loud voice, would you mind not talking, please?
See, it happens, doesn't it?
It does happen, because, and it wasn't, you know, when there was dialogue, they weren't, but then when there wasn't dialogue, that's when they'd chat about something, and it finally, and it rolled all the way through the previews, and then it rolled through the credits of the movie, which I think that's when you stop.
Right.
When the opening credits come on the movie, that's when you stop, and they kept doing it.
The official stop is directed by. You know, once you get to directed by, you gotta shut up.
Yeah, well, they kept going through that, and then, about 5 minutes into it, I turned around, and I said, would you mind not talking, please? And then you get the look, because they're rude people to start with, so they give you the rude look like, what are you talking about, or what, but they shut the hell up after that. Because really, I was fashioning my straw from my beverage. I had some sandpaper, and I was fashioning it into a shiv in case they kept talking.
That's a good idea.
Look, I didn't love the movie, but I guess I didn't hate it as much as you did.
Christ. Now, here's the thing. You walk out of the movie, first thing my wife says to me, we walk out, she said, okay, that's your pick. I said, whoa! No, we got to do it. I pick, she picks.
Right,
I said,
right.
Hey, no. She said, you said let's see the Stepford Wives. I said let's see the Stepford Wives because I thought that's what you wanted to see, darling.
I'd love to talk about a continuity situation in the movie that was my nagging continuity error in the movie.
You know what? I'll see a movie with Matthew Broderick the day that they make Vehicular Manslaughter Wives. And they film it on location in Ireland.
Matthew Broderick, the older he gets, the more, it seems like, the more dull he gets. And the more roles, he's like watching the grass grow.
Yeah.
But there's a particular logistic issue that I don't want to ruin the movie for people that might want to go see it. But about what's really going on there. And I know it's a movie, suspend disbelief and stuff, but are they... I'm not going to ruin the movie for anybody. This is not going to ruin it. What I'm going to say, my question is, Stepford Wives, are they robots, or are they...
No, they're not robots. They just have implants.
Okay.
They have implants put in their brains.
What's killing me, then?
What? Say it.
Then why in the movie did they bring up that thing out of the floor with her body on it?
Because it's the stupidest movie ever made.
Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying with that?
Yes, I do.
If it's a surgical procedure...
The original Stepford Wives was a great concept for a movie. And incidentally, any of you entrepreneurs out there...
Scary, very scary.
Any of you entrepreneurs, this is a project I would be willing to put some of my hard-earned 30-plus years in broadcasting money behind.
What's that?
A real Stepford Wives. Where you really get women and you just turn them into robots where all they do is what you want them to do.
Well, really...
I'd love that.
The best part of the movie is the first half.
And I'd love...
The best part of the movie is the first half. It is an anti-male movie. Really,
but here's the thing, Mike.
Yeah.
They made this movie, Stepford Wives, so goddamn politically correct.
Yes, they
because
did.
Because while on one hand, they want to show a movie about crazy guys who turn their wives into robots.
Right.
But on the other hand... Why, women must have rights, and you must know that women are smarter than men, and saying, just to be right, why don't we put a couple of homos in this movie,
too? The gay guy was funny. I thought the gay guy was funny. He was a funny gay. I'd like to see him in another movie.
And that's the guy, I think, from the producers. I'm not debating.
But then when they fixed him, fixed his brain, it becomes
I'm not
boring.
Debating whether he was funny or not, but the point of it is, the original movie didn't have anything to do with being gay.
No.
It was about guys, and I don't care if you want to make a gay version of the Stepford Wives,
right.
Maybe even include them in. Just be true to the movie.
Right.
The movie was guys, crazy guys.
Well, they weren't true to the movie because the movie was a horror movie. It was a scary movie.
I know. And what they did was they camped it up, and then they, forget it. You know,
that's too bad.
They did all this junk that's just stupid, and anyway, I didn't
hate it as much as you did.
I didn't pick it. I just, maybe that's why I feel that way, because I have that burden now on me.
Should have gone to your original choice.
That I picked, mm-hmm. which was?
Chronicles of Riddick. You should have gone to that one.
I bet I would have liked it better. I really bet I would have. Hey, Jay, Don and Mike Show. Hello, Jay. Hey,
Chronicles of Riddick, lots of explosions, not a bad movie.
Riddick, lots of explosions.
Not a bad
movie. Absolutely. And the Stepford-wise, didn't they put a credit card in one of their mouths and they shot out a 20?
Yes. Yeah, it's a real bad CGI scene where he turns a wife into an ATM.
Yeah, how could they not be robots in that case? I mean,
right. I think it could have been sexier too.
They just
I think it could have been chips. Much sexier. It was not sexy.
Hello, Matt, Don and Mike. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Don and Mike. How's it going?
Matt Broderick calling.
Hey, Matthew. What's happening, Matthew?
Hey, got just a quick observation. When I used to live up in D.C. Before the actual Emmys would come out, they would tout on their commercials about how they were nominated for 90 Emmys, and it's just so interesting.
Are you kidding?
Sure.
You mad? No.
They submit them themselves, and then they say nominated.
I've never seen that. Oh, that's too much.
So it's insane.
So Channel 5, in essence, could be running a promo right now saying, nominated for 90 Emmy Awards.
Mm-hmm. We determined that we would be nominated for 90 Emmy Awards.
All right, thank you, Matt.
Bye.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
You know, Mike, you mentioned that you thought the Stepford Wives could have been sexier.
Right.
That's odd, because that's the same feeling I brought away from Garfield.
Did you go see Garfield?
No, I didn't.
Oh, damn.
Not sexy enough.
I'd love to see Garfield.
And I saw some dopes that were waiting in line for Garfield. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, when you go to a movie theater, I'm surprised more people haven't figured this out. When we went on Saturday night, the line was freaking incredible, including people that were already waiting in line to buy Spider-Man tickets.
Right.
They had a special window set up selling Spider-Man tickets already. So it's a jam scene.
Mm-hmm.
Frida said, you know, they've got all those machines inside where you just put your credit card in and it gives you the tickets like right away.
Mm-hmm.
So she walked inside and she was doing that, and somebody started to talk to me in line because there was 100 people in line.
Right.
Guy said, what are you going to see? I said, I think the Stepford Wives. My wife just went in to get tickets. Guy says, I'm going to go see Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that comes with having kids, doesn't it? And the guy said, I don't have any kids. And there was a moment when I just started to kind of spy and look around. He didn't have a wife that was inside buying tickets. This was just like the comic book guy from The Simpsons.
I don't have a wife.
Saturday night.
I am watching Garfield.
Going to see Garfield. And he told me, in the time that it took my wife to go inside and buy our tickets on the machine,
right.
He told me, not only did he think Bill Murray was brilliant as Garfield, he's not seen it yet,
right.
But he had always pictured when he read the comics, Bill Murray's voice.
Right.
Also, did you know, during the movie, he's saying this to me, during Garfield, Bill Murray wasn't even there. They just had some other guy saying the lines.
Yeah.
And do you know that Jennifer Love Hewitt was actually holding, in some scenes, a bag of flour?
Right.
The guy's saying...
And she doesn't need a bag of flour. When you're talking about Jennifer Love Hewitt, you don't need a bag of flour.
That might be the only reason that I would give the guy a reason to show up, is that Jennifer Love Hewitt's in the movie.
Well, I plan on taking my kids to Garfield, and Jennifer Love Hewitt is a huge... Well, there are two reasons I want to go there.
Yeah, anyway, the guy started giving me... And I didn't want to, you know, be short with him, because...
Well, they have one of those making of Garfields.
But it's like he's telling me stuff like, what, you think I don't know that it's... First off, that it's not a real cat, that it's a computer cat... Second, you're telling me that in the scenes where the computer cat is there, she's holding a bag of flour. Okay.
Did you ask him the million-dollar question?
I'm with you, dude. No, what was that?
If he lettered in high school.
Theater sports.
I remember him. He was a very good guy
at Madison High School. We have to break. Robbie, do we have the dentist tapes?
Oh, yeah. Do you want to see the bag they came in?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Now, you know, I don't know how long ago this was, a month or so ago.
Uh-huh.
Dennis Murphy.
Look what was handed to me.
Same thing. He put his tuna fish sandwich
in. I know. It's not even a clean Ziploc bag. It is a rumpled Ziploc sandwich bag, and in it are CDs and copious notes.
All right. A major effing star, Dennis Murphy, was sent by us and by Spike TV to Los Angeles to be on the set of this show, some Spike TV
Stuntman Award.
Hey, it's a chance to listen to Dennis.
And it's Dennis on the red carpet, right, with various celebrities?
Yeah, but I think wasn't the biggest one he had like...
Kevin Nealon.
Yeah. And
need we say more?
Either Bill Pullman or Bill Paxton. I don't know. I always get them confused.
Either way, we've never heard those. We'll hear those. And I think Penn Jillette coming up also in the next half hour. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Howard Stern on your way to work. Don and Mike on your way home. 106.7 WJFK.
Beltway north of town, jammed up around the inner loop, trying to get to the Temple from Old Georgetown Road. Inbound 14th Street Bridge, broken down car blocking the left lane, delays to get into the Pentagon. We're brought to you by CarMax. Don't waste time haggling over price. Instead, start your search for you at the great low price already clearly marked on the car. CarMax, the way car buying should be. I'm Sumner Redstone for the Don and Mike Show, WJFK.
Infinity Broadcasting, WJFK-FM, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
I think Sox had something to do with that decision.
It's not funny.
I beg your pardon?
What word do you have trouble with? You understand not? That's comfortable for you?
Yeah.
And funny, you've heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this doesn't work. You see, I think Sox had something to do with that decision. See, now I'm laughing.
Well, laugh loud so you can cover for the rest of us.
Hey, you like your job?
No.
Well, watch it. Let me go.
Oh, may I? Thank you. Come on, sir.
Watch it, asshole.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Pray for death. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Rush Limbaugh, you had this on the news on Friday.
Friday, Buzz. Just as it was released. Yeah.
Friday is a slow news day. Rush Limbaugh is getting divorced.
I have decided to end my nuptials.
I just wanted to mention this. I don't know if we ever, in all of our Rush Limbaugh talking, ever discovered this about him.
Yes?
Do you know how he met wife number three, Marta?
How did he meet Marta?
They met in 1990.
Uh-huh.
On a CompuServe bulletin board.
Really?
Think back in the day to CompuServe.
CompuServe, one of the early ones.
Now, as I recall, wasn't one of the first battles Prodigy versus CompuServe?
Right.
Isn't that how it works?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, but that's like back in the days when you saved data on cassette.
Well, that's back before anybody was really doing chat groups.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was.
A message board, lonely. Dependent on prescription medications, looking for love, and have a great need for ugly ties.
And Courtney Cox had a kid and named it Cuckoo. Coco. Coco.
Coco?
So the baby's name is
Coco Arquette?
Coco Cox. No, the full name is Coco Cox Arquette.
Coco Cox Arquette.
But...
kind of has a nice ring to it.
Doesn't it sound like a cereal, though?
Cocoa Cox.
Cocoa Cox.
Cocoa Cox.
Have some Cocoa Cox.
I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Cox.
Anyway, that's the Dennis Murphy tapes here. Oh, and, okay. Give me a second. About Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes.
And I'm not going to do this with doing the,
what's up, dog? How you doing?
None of that. Simply dialogue between Shaq and some guy... some freestyle DJ who he's feuding with.
Hmm.
Oh, and I have to just mention something. Speaking of Shaq, the Detroit Pistons, you know how everybody wants the Chicago Bulls did that opening thing with the...
Right.
Dun, 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 dun. Everybody's got some goddamn opening now.
Where they dim the lights and the production. Guys come out with the spotlights and the lasers and the whole
thing. Come out. The Detroit Pistons have a guy, and I'm telling you, this is how you do it in 2004.
Right?
He is an MC. He is a DJ.
Right.
He's a fat brother, and he's sitting on the sidelines. I guess he's like a DJ in Detroit.
Right.
And when he announces, first off, he says stuff like, Let's give a warm palace welcome. And of course he's saying to Boo, a very warm palace welcome to the Los Angeles Lakers. And it's Boo and he introduces them. But when it's time for the Pistons, it's like, from Detroit basketball, it's time for Chauncey Billy! The guy is freaking outstanding.
Cool.
He beats the hell out of Tommy Edwards, you know, doing that thing at the Bulls game.
Right.
And Tommy Edwards was the first guy to do that at a Bulls game.
Tommy
Edwards, incidentally, a disc jockey, a friend of mine, claims he invented playing that song, dun da dun da dun da dun, hey! Dun da dun da dun da dun, hey! He claims he invented playing that at sporting events.
Oh, come on. Oh, let's give him that.
Anyway, there's a guy.
Was he also Bozo the Clown?
Now, this guy in the Detroit Pistons, if every pregame was like this, it's quick, it's tight.
Uh-huh. Right.
He's good, he's exciting. Here's the news about Shaq, and I'm just going to read it with I'm not going to do any of this down. Okay. Like, hello, this am Shaq. Just listen to this. Anybody tell me if you know any of these people besides Shaquille O'Neal.
All right.
Shaquille O'Neal popped up on a mixtape by DJ Sycamore. The song is called Drop Another Day. And he delivers a freestyle talking about Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan.
Right.
And Virginia rapper MC Skills. MC Skills used to be known as Mad Skills.
Ah.
Now, this guy put out a record where he said something about Shaq.
All right, he trash-talked Shaq?
Yes, and here's what Shaq had to say.
Good.
I don't care how mad your skills is. You can't serve me. You don't like D's? D-E-E-Z. Sure. You don't like D's? Take off my throwback jersey. Yeah. You're the fourth best from Virginia. Guess what? I don't F with scrubs either. I don't know what you look like. You be splitting metaphors like a geek. My
poetic.
Man.
Yeah.
Now the DJ, who used to be known as Mad Skills, known as now as MC Skills, uh-huh. says he doesn't know why Shaq disses him, although he says it might be his song that he put out called The Wrap Up 2004, where he busted on Kobe, saying Kobe's situation is the dummy move of the year. Now, no matter what Shaq says, this guy says he's now mad at you. This is
it's a war.
A battle, and I hope it's not like Biggie Small.
Yeah,
I hope it's just a battle of
no
words.
No shooting.
Because
please.
Shaq, I don't know about this guy, Mad Skills or MC Skills. I'll tell you this, Shaq is a great basketball player. He's an awful actor. And
right.
He's even worse as a rapper. There would be no need to shoot him like these other guys have, like Tupac.
Right.
But he says, the other guy says he'll return fire. Oh, it's a beef. Here's his quote. I have no idea why Shaq said that, but that don't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
He threw the first blow. That's a heavy blow. He's a big dude. I wouldn't even answer Shaq back if I didn't think he could rap. I think he believes he's nice. It's a mismatch. It's going to be funny. And how serious is he taking this beef with Shaquille O'Neal? He has a response written up, and it may end Shaquille O'Neal's side career as an MC.
Really?
That'd be a shame.
That's true. He says, people know me for my rap battles. I don't hold nothing back.
So we might have a battle between this guy and Shaquille O'Neal?
Yeah, you know, and again, you might think that Shaq might be a little more worried about getting the ball inside and scoring a couple of points.
He should be above this. He's bored with that.
And I don't know. Here's somebody. Somebody knows about this. Tony.
Yeah, what's going on, fellas?
Tony, yo, please inform two tragically white boys.
Yeah,
about,
what's going on here, Tony?
What is this? I know who Shaquille O'Neal is, obviously, but who is MC Skills Mad Skills?
Skills, he's just like a local Virginia rapper. He was known on a mixtape circuit just for battling people. He's never had any hit records out.
Well, hold on. If the guy's never had any hit records and he just puts a mixtape out, how does he get Shaq's attention?
Because, like you said before, he did that song about Kobe. When he was dissing Kobe, and, you know, used to be the man about, you know, little trapping the Kobe.
Yeah, but hold on, though. Here's the thing. He's just some guy putting out mixtapes.
He's some guy, so to regular listeners. But if you're in the rap world, a lot of people normally respect him because he's one of those people, he's like an unsung hero. He's a rapper's rapper. He can't sell albums, but a lot of rappers like him. A lot of rappers, he writes a lot of raps for a lot of rappers.
Huh. Please do explain mixtapes. Are they played in clubs? Is that what it is?
Nah, they're underground.
Are they cassettes?
Underground bootleg tapes?
Yeah. Sometimes right. You get songs to come out before they hit the air, they hit the record.
How much? Yeah. Do you download them or are they actual tapes?
You can download them down the internet or you can just buy the tapes anywhere. DC, Maryland, New York.
Who do you side with in this battle? Shaquille O'Neal or Mad Skills?
I mean, it's funny. Like you said, Shaq is not a rapper. He thinks.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
That answers it.
Seems to me Shaquille O'Neal shouldn't be worrying about this.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm
why bother? I mean, Shaquille O'Neal.
I'm not Shaquille O'Neal.
He's got a career.
Yeah. Maybe it's not Shaq. Maybe it's the rest of the Fushnikins.
Hello. Here is Jack in Buffalo on WBUF. Jack.
Who is his backup?
No. Jesse. I said Jack, not Jack.
All right, whatever. It's whatever Joe's writing. It's Monday in Joe's world.
Hello, Jesse.
Joe. So
Radio God, what's going on?
Dominic comes out as Dominique.
Dominique, yeah.
And whatever your name is, he put up as Jack.
Sure had a busy weekend.
Oh, and you know, Joe was very upset that he didn't get to say his thing on... Hey, hold on one second.
On Friday?
Jack.
I thought
on
he
Friday.
Did.
Yeah. No, he did not. Hi, B.A., would you... Oh, and listen, do we need to talk to you about moving offices?
People like... No, not yet.
Okay, I mean...
Like piecemeal. People telling me things.
We are going to have a discussion about what office we move to here in trading
very
spaces
good.
in the building. Would you put Joe on?
Yeah, 1 second.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hey, I know that you're upset you didn't get to say it on Friday. You want to say it on Monday because it's only 5 days away?
Well, sure, but I wasn't upset. I said it during my hour.
Yeah.
During his hour.
His hour.
Well, you didn't say it on the network, though.
That's true, so I'll say it right now.
Okay.
The weekend is here. Have a can of beer.
Okay. How could we have made it through the weekend without that? Know.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good job.
Joe. He said it on his show.
And that's followed by Joe Monday.
Anyway, Guy in Buffalo. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
All right, what's up? You guys were just talking about Shaq.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember, it was like 15 years ago, probably, they had a Sega game called Shaq Fu, and with it came one of his rap singles.
Ah.
Oh, he's talented. Oh, is he talented? He's good.
He wasn't good back then. I don't know. I haven't heard him lately.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, okay.
You guys remember that?
Right. You don't have mad skills as a caller, dude. I must tell you something.
What's up?
Let me tell you something. I don't care how mad your skills is as a caller. You can't serve us. You don't like our D's? Take off our throwback jersey. You're the fourth best from Buffalo. Guess what? We don't F with scrubs either. I don't know what you look like, but you be splitting metaphors like you're a geek. You hearing me?
Well said. There you go.
Thank you.
You told him.
Thank you. Bill.
Yeah, this is Bill from Portland. Yeah, I'm that guy doesn't have a clear thought in his head, Shaq. You look at him, he's at the free throw line. He's got that eye dropping down like that. Oh, there's a clear thought in that guy's head.
You know who, on Mad TV, the guy does the best Shaquille O'Neal in the world. Because,
oh, what the hell is his name?
Because the guy on Mad TV does the crazy eye thing.
Right.
Where the one eye goes down and the other, just like Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, man, we got to give that guy his props. I'm trying to think what his name is.
I've never gotten to the Dennis Murphy tapes. Crap, we got Penn Jillette coming up.
Oh.
Can I tell you this?
Now I'm just thinking about the guy's name.
Can I tell you this about Nicole Kidman?
Ari Spears.
Ah. Let me tell you, that's his name, right.
Yeah.
I think that's him. Nicole Kidman, who was in that movie we both saw.
Right.
Uh-huh. Stepford Wives,
right.
She's making us laugh now in Stepford Wives. But she's doing a new movie.
I like anything she does.
You're going to you're not going to like this one.
Careful.
I'm not. I'm going to like this one. You're not going to like this one. Nicole Kidman is making a new movie called Birth. Here's the plot of the movie. Her husband is killed.
Yeah.
And her husband comes back in someone else's body.
Okay.
Turns out the person that comes back is a 10-year-old boy.
Uh-huh.
And apparently there's a scene in the movie where they're taking a bath together. And
really? Is it controversial?
Well, if you think, as we said last week on the show, French kissing nude in a bathtub with a naked 10-year-old boy is controversial,
yeah,
then I would say this movie's up your alley.
Really?
Yeah, the name of the movie is I'm going to see it the day that it opens. No, the name of the movie is Birth. That's the new Nicole Kidman movie.
Mm.
She's in the tub, uh-huh, and apparently very explicit. She's way naked. The kid, I don't know how naked he is.
Apparently also.
But he's way naked, and since he's her husband reincarnated, they act like if he was a guy, not a 10-year-old boy.
Really?
Yeah, there's passionate kissing involved.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
See, I'm hypocritical that way. I mean, it's a boy and not a, not, you know.
Yeah, but a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
10-year-old boy. Yeah, lucky son of a bitch he is. I tell you that. Can you imagine that? You're like Haley Joel Osment. Yeah. You know, you'd be kicking yourself right now.
You have to give him. You have to use him as an example.
He's kicking himself. You know, or that kid from Jerry Maguire. You know, what did he get? What did he get? That kid got Stuart Little. And then Stuart Little, too. Meanwhile, here's this other kid. He's naked in the tub making out with Nicole Kidman.
Well, sounds like kiddie porn to me.
That's why I said the name of the movie is I'll Be There the Day It Opens.
Controversial. They may not release the movie because of that.
It's so bizarre.
That is bizarre.
You got to talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay, you're my dead husband, even though you're a 10-year-old boy. Let's get naked and get in the tub together.
Very odd.
Now, kiss me.
Very strange.
Kiss me like Tom used to kiss me.
Mm.
All right, Mike, I'll make it right for you.
All right.
With a feel good. Here's today's feel good. And we have to go all the way to South Korea for today's feel good story.
All right.
There's a guy that's the head of a food company. And they make all kinds of prepared food.
Okay.
Over in Seoul, South Korea. Last week, the Food and Drug Administration announced that at least 12 companies had been using rotten radishes when they're making their frozen dumplings.
Mm.
And they ordered the dumplings pulled off the shelves.
Okay.
Now, the government has confiscated 20 tons of what they've called garbage dumplings.
Wow.
Now, this guy who owns a food company was not even named in this.
Right.
His company was not one of the companies named. Sure, he makes dumplings over there in South Korea, mm-hmm, but no one said it's his company.
Right.
It's just all of a sudden there's a scandal,
right,
that, oh my God, these are tainted. So the guy did the only thing that he could. He found a very tall building and jumped off.
There's the feel-good story.
Ah. He's dead.
Yeah, well, you know what? Bad radishes will do that to you.
They don't even know that his company's bad. But he just, I cannot take the shame. I cannot take the shame. What if they were my radishes, my dumplings?
Bad radishes.
Now, I must jump to my death.
Goodbye.
Say hello to your auntie for me, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I go.
That's all we got. And, Dennis Duff, we'll start that shortly. I've got the tapes here. Just maybe have it
shortly.
Just we haven't played them doesn't mean we won't. Coming up in a second, live from Las Vegas, Penn Jillette.
Should I put the Dennis tapes with the telephone tapes?
No, we're going to get to the Dennis tape.
Of course.
And Jillette.
You watch the Penn and Teller show, right?
Religiously, and it's better this year than it's ever been.
The show is called Bull S.
Yes.
And
Bull S.
Anyway, he'll be on. He'll tell you about it live from Las Vegas. And Mike, he'll be on a microphone in his house.
Oh, very good.
Penn Jillette will.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I stopped in midair.
I know you did.
Should I finish my fall?
Would you please?
Goodbye.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show. Oh, world-class Gansers. Don and Mike.
Right. We like the Gansing.
I love it.
That's gay dancing. We've had Penn Jillette on the show.
Thank you for explaining it.
Well, Gansing is gay dancing.
Now I know what that underground tape thing is all about, and I know what Gansing is all about.
We had Penn and Teller on the show, on our old morning zoo show.
I believe it was back in 1970.
Anyway, I'm sure he doesn't remember making these tapes. Penn Jillette.
Let's take a look back, shall we?
Yes.
Hi, this is Penn of Penn and Teller, and I love to listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, but I've been known to lie.
And there are bad edits there.
Yeah. We had to edit out the old radio station.
Edit out on the morning zoo. Here's another one.
Hi, this is Pena Penatella. I wouldn't be caught dead listening to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. Can you sit with me? Reverse psychology.
All right, you got it.
Yeah. Hi, this is Pena Penatella, and I never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
The chopped edit.
The morning zoo.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Pena Penatella, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Yeah,
I got it hanging.
Great. You know, some good drops back in the day.
Absolutely.
And now many years later, and God knows, thousands of DJ interviews, from his home in Las Vegas, here is Penn Jillette. Hey, Penn, can you hear us?
Oh, we hear you. I hear you beautifully. You sound great.
Now, is that a great setup you've got now? Now, listen, I got so many questions for you. I've seen your house.
Shoot!
I've seen your house. Speaking of shoot, why does your house look like a prison?
Well, you know, I just thought it was sexy. Is that a wrong answer?
No,
is that a creepy answer? Let me say it this way. I thought it was an industrial design thing for the 21st century. That kind of that sounds much better than sexy, doesn't
it? That's lovely.
I don't know if Mike, have you seen on E! Or...
No, but I want to get this out of the way because I came back and I told the story about when I went to see the Penn & Teller show when I was out and I wasn't successful in tipping the maitre d' to get me down front.
Right.
And I'd had too much night the night before, and we were so far back that unfortunately we both fell asleep at your show, and I wanted to...
You rat bastard!
I wanted to personally... I don't believe in hypocrisy or being dishonest.
You pig!
I want...
How about you start believing in a little hypocrisy?
Would that hurt?
That would be a fine idea. Hypocrisy is called simply politeness.
I'm sorry, but I...
Like breeding!
I know, and it was just... I wanted to be... I thought that we'd do the whole...
Could you keep your voice down a little bit? You're keeping me awake. I want to dope off right now, you
Let me have it. I deserve it.
On the other hand,
we'll get you up close next time.
They run a tight ship in that theater of yours. They really do. First of all, it's a very popular show in Las Vegas. It's a tough ticket. And the thing is, it was
tougher than Danny Gans.
I wouldn't know, but
old Gracie.
But I'm
hear that? That was my Danny Gans doing George Burns. Old Gracie. They also does Pee Wee Herman. Oh, Gracie! And he does Dean Martin. Oh, Gracie! It's wonderful. Willie Nelson. Oh, Gracie! He does all of them. He's a genius.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad you hate him. Hey, listen, do you still hate Roy Horn even after what happened to him?
Well, no, see, this is the thing. I never hated Roy Horn. I made fun of him.
Right.
You know, as long as I can remember, I think from birth I was making fun of Siegfried and Roy. They were the greatest thing in the world to make fun of. And they were such cool professional guys that it was amazing. I'd go on a radio show and just trash them on every front about them raping their tigers, and the tigers turned white from fear, running away from the Nazis trying to screw them. And I would go on forever. And the next day you'd get a call going, "Hello, Ben. Very funny stuff. Thank you." No matter what I said, they were just so cool. So the thing was that they were doing this incredible, you know, everybody else in show business takes stuff that's really easy to do and acts like it's hard, right? Like you guys are doing Jack. You sit around chatting, but you have to go to the boss and go, "Oh, you know, we have to keep the show moving, you have to go for commercials." You're not doing anything, right? No one in show business is doing anything. It's really, really easy. Roy is surrounding himself with wild beasts that want him dead for four more reasons than I wanted him dead, right? Evil things that just want to kill him. Tigers think one thing. It's not a sophisticated operating system. They think kill, screw, eat. Nothing else is in their mind ever. They don't even think about, you know, excreting. That just comes naturally. It's just kill, screw, eat. And two of them, actually all three, they were interested in Roy for. And so they were just trying to kill him. And yet Roy would just act like, "Oh, these are my friends and I hug them." It's like hugging a nuclear reactor. We knew he was going to get hurt. And I'd watch the show and I'd go backstage and I'd say, "Roy, you know, you passed this up." "No, I love my animal." "They're going to kill you, Roy." And then they're in such deep denial. You know, after the thing happened, I'm talking to Siegfried, and he goes, "The tiger was trying to help him." And I go, "Yeah, anything that's trying to rip off your head is not trying to help you, you retarded Nazi." You try to explain this to them. And, you know, so after Roy was hurt, we were all really freaked out. And what I did what I did to show my love for Roy is I bought a pair of leather pants at Versace. And I'll explain why. You know, I would, there's these things in Vegas, these big galas, right?
Yeah.
And they have like, you know, Vegas is what's in Vegas stays in Vegas, what happens in Vegas, all this stuff. So they invite all the local celebrities, which sadly I'm part of because I took a wrong turn years ago.
I was going to mention this to you. Okay.
I walk in, you know, red carpet stuff. I walk in and I'm wearing, you know, a sweatshirt and jeans and not even like M&M stuff. I mean like Gap stuff, right? And I walk in and my hair's down on my face and I'm unshaven and I'm wearing sneakers. And then I just walk in and go, oh, Penadella, one of the stars. And I go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Roy and Siegfried would come in wearing like matching yak coats. They're wearing yak. You know, and it really was yak. And I'm not even making that up.
I know.
Funny word. They actually were wearing yak. And you go, oh. And then so all the photographers come over and go, K-k-k-k. And then I walk over and talk to Roy. Now, here I am, a 48-year-old man, right? And I'm looking at another man in his 50s or 60s or probably 90s.
Yes.
And he's wearing a yak coat. And he looks at me, and I realize at that moment that I'm the one that is improperly dressed. I'm the fool. People are paying $100 a damn ticket. And they're not saying, you know, guys, we'd like you to take this money and spend it wisely and be a... No, they're saying, take this money we're giving you and be a nut. Be like Michael Jackson. Be a nut so we can read about you. We work all day, want to come back and go, look at that creep wearing the yak coat. That's why we give you the money. And Roy would look at me like, oh, you're wearing sneakers.
Yeah, I am, Roy.
And he's wearing yak. Now, if you're working at a 7-Eleven, the guy wearing yak is the one who's left out. But if you're a Vegas celebrity, it's the guy wearing the navy blue Gap stuff that's the fool, right? So after Roy got injured, I talked to him, and I said, you know, I didn't talk to him. I talked to Siegfried. I talked to their manager and stuff. And I said, you know, I want to show some respect for Roy. So I went to Versace and spent, you know, as much as a car costs. It was my little love letter to Roy saying, get well soon. And he did, and that's because of my leather pants.
Hey, leather pants. And I'll tell you, here's why I asked, because I know that you goofed on him. I didn't know that you were friends with him.
We don't see him.
When the whole thing happened, you were one of the guys. They had, I think, the mayor of Las Vegas, and then the next guy that they interviewed, Penn Jillette. Now, and you were and you were serious. It was like Entertainment Tonight saying, hey, this is really a tough time. All of Las Vegas gets together.
I was going to ask Penn about that. Is it kind of a fraternity out there? Is it kind of a group of people? I mean, do you see these
You can't
people?
Be in a group with Danny Gans.
Well, no, of course not.
But I mean, obviously,
you know what I mean? It's like saying to the guys in prison, you hang with Charlie Manson? No, you hang, but you draw a line.
Yeah.
You know, you still draw a line.
You have to because you're out there in the same community. It's a small community, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. And also, you know, you go to these things, and I hate when showbiz people talk about friends that aren't friends. You know,
Right. Friends
of mine are guys I take a bullet for, you know. You go and you pick them up when their car's broken down at 4 in the morning.
Right.
That's a friend, you know. A friend is a guy who not only helps you move, but helps you move bodies, you know. I mean, that's a real friend. And they aren't friends, but they are business acquaintances that you really like. So every six or eight parties that we have to go to a year in Vegas because we were supposed to be seen there. And you end up over at one side just chatting with Roy or Siegfried, you know. So you end up having this kind of affection. And also they know they're in show business. They know they're wearing yak coats. So making fun of them is not like...
School of them.
It's more like making fun of buddies. You know, it's not like you ever go, oh, we didn't like what you said. So, man, I was really freaked out. And I was the only one, I mean, Lance Burton, a magician in town, he was asked to go on. And he couldn't pull it together. We were all really freaked out because, you know, it's been 20 years that I've been seeing Siegfried and Roy at these things. You see him do their act. And then, you know, he has his head ripped off.
Yeah.
And it really does. You know, we do the bullet catch in our show. We do something that's killed 14 people. We know from doing dangerous stuff on stage. And, man, I just looked at Siegfried and just saw, you know, this is what I look like when some night something goes wrong and Teller's hurt. I mean, it's been a long time. And they can talk about, you know, you can make all the little sniveling jokes you want. thought about Siegfried and Roy, but they're business partners. That's what they are.
What's the worst? What's
mother's brothers?
What is the worst injury that you or your partner Teller have ever experienced on stage?
Well, we are such cowards and such tight asses that we're very, very careful. We have the same rules for doing our show at the Rio that, you know, that you know, you'd have for SM, which is which is nothing to put you in the hospital.
Well, no, see, here's the thing.
More than 2 weeks.
We saw you, my family and I saw you in New York. This has to be way over 10, 12 years ago. My kid was just 7 years old. You doing a show where you had live bear traps. You know those big-ass bear traps?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah, oh, man.
And you had the other guy in a blindfold, and he's walking through this thing, and one of you guys was shut in a refrigerator. It was like, it was incredible. My kid was seven. We'd never seen anything like it before. And to show you what a melting, they talk about a melting pot. We walk out of that show. I swear to Christ, you know, he walked out of the show next to Walter Cronkite.
Right.
And I remember saying to Walter Cronkite as we were leaving, "How are you, sir?" You know, I'm allegedly in broadcast. And he's like, "Hi, nice to see you." I said, "Did you like the show?" He said, "I loved it."
There you go.
I loved it. And
you know, I remember Walter Cronkite coming to the show, and there's a bit in the show that we used to do back then with a Bible prediction, where we would have a Bible verse picked at random we already had hung up over on in a bottle over the audience. And my job at that point in the show was to go in the audience and pick the guy who looked to be
right.
to be the most trustworthy person in the audience.
Yeah. And
I walk in, and I didn't know he was going to be there, and I'm looking at Walter Cronkite, and I go, "You know, man, this is the story for the rest of my life."
Yep.
And I picked a regular guy because Walter Cronkite, you know, people would think we could get to him.
Yeah, right.
And now, what
we do stuff that, you know, there's this big mistake that all the foolish anti-violence and art people make, and that is when you see the depiction of violence in art, it's not a celebration of the pain. It's a celebration of life and health. And if we want people to come to our show and laugh and feel joy at stuff that, like sticking hands in animal traps and being, you know, crushed by refrigerators.
It is great. Mm. The greatest show
we
ever.
We have to let the audience really feel safe. Because if they feel for a second that we're doing stuff that really is dangerous, then it's a different kind of entertainment. Then it's NASCAR, which is all, you know, valid.
But that isn't part of the
stuff that's dangerous.
What you're saying is
very important.
What you're saying is true, but
feel safe.
But hold on a second. When you're sitting as close as we were sitting, and granted, this is like 12 years ago, we were sitting close.
What was it like sitting close?
It was so close that we could actually see that they were real bear traps.
Right.
And I'm sure, you know, it was a scam, and I'm sure you showed us how you did it afterwards. But when you would see those things go, and what about...
I was in the very back row at the Rio.
What about the thing on SNL? You did this whole a piece where you were hanging upside down. But you didn't even know it until... Do you remember that? When they were on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, right. I remember it very well because that's one of the bits that really messed us up. I mean, we were in the gravity boots and hanging upside down for camera checks and for sound checks because the techie guys, Teller says to them, "I'd like a monitor that looks like it's going to look on TV. So take the monitor and just leave it the way it is so that when I'm upside down and the picture's upside down, it's exactly right for me." And the tech guy goes, "Okay. Teller wants the monitor to be right side up," so they send three guys over and they turn the TV over. And then go, "No, you just turned it off." "But no, you want the image right side up." "Yes, but we're upside down, so could you turn the thing over?" So the guy goes, "Okay, we'll turn it over." So he turns it over. Then the original guy hears Teller say, "Turn it over." He comes over and turns it over again. So we actually turned over the damn monitor like 8 times. So we're hanging there, and by the time we were done, every blood vessel in our face had just broken. I mean, we were hanging upside down for about 6 hours.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, but we look a little different than Richard Gere looked in, you know, American Gigolo. You know, we're fat guys. It's like hanging you two upside down.
The whole hour, you know?
It's
great.
Just not going to be pretty when all that stuff moves to your head.
They did the whole thing. They did the whole bit, the whole piece. And watching at home, You don't know. I mean, you would have just thought it's Penn and Teller doing their show. It was great. And then they pull back, and you see that the whole time they have been hanging upside down.
Very cool.
Freaking incredible.
Well, it's Penn and Teller looking perfectly normal if they've been retaining water.
but
our heads were a little bit exploded.
Tell Penn how much you love that show, Bull Ass.
I love the show. Penn, I think it's even better this year. You guys are as entertaining and as genius as always, and it looks like you've got a better support staff and better research this year. Everybody should see the show and get Showtime if they can just to see the show.
Yeah, it's called Bull S.
Right, right. I loved your two openers,
you.
New Age and the show on safety. They were great.
Oh, thanks so much. You know, it's really an important thing to us. You know, we've been huge fans of Houdini since we were kids. And Houdini, the later part of his career, just did debunking. Because after you lie to people professionally for years, you have this big store of information. And when people do it, and they're not doing it on stage, it gets you so furious. But watch for the second half of Showtime. We come back in the fall, and one of the shows we're doing is going to get us absolutely ripped to pieces is we are doing 12-step programs. We're doing
you take them all on. Are you still getting hassled by other magicians associations and things like that for doing all the debunking that you do?
Much less. You know, we've been around long enough that I guess I don't think they've come to love us, but they've gotten used to us.
Right.
And it makes a big difference. You know, also Teller has always been a real major historian of magic. He's one of the most respected experts in the history of magic. And so he's always gotten along very well with the old timers and all the guys that collect and have all the stuff. Teller gets along with wonderfully. He's just an expert on all that stuff.
Hey, Penn,
so some of that has come back to roost. They've kind of started to say, well, you know, Penn says this stuff, but Teller has the respect. So I don't know how we go after Penn without getting Teller. That's kind of the way the magic community is. Come on.
Last thing, you mentioned Houdini. We had a couple of nerds on the show last week from the Houdini Museum. There's one guy that's revealing the metamorphosis, and can do a Google search and find out how to do it. And there's another group. It was the Houdini Fan Club. What is it? Whatever it is. There.
I don't know.
They were up in arms about it.
Do you? This is like something you guys started. Do you? Obviously, it's okay with you to give away these secrets, right? About how Houdini.
No, but there's more important than that. It was okay with Houdini to give away those secrets.
Right.
You know, when he got done with the trick, he moved on. He didn't keep metamorphosis a huge secret. The fact of the matter is that what they're giving is not the secret. I mean, it's like if you come to me and ask me, how does Bach write a fugue? And I say, well, sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat. That's the answer, and we're done. That's all you're getting. You're getting one little glimpse into how one piece of machinery works. And I'll guarantee you that a really good performer using that same piece of apparatus can blow your mind, because it's not the guitar, it's George Harrison. You know?
Okay, I understand.
And it's
what you're
not
saying.
The box, it's Houdini.
Yeah.
You know, it's very simple.
All right, the last thing. Who's the worst celebrity you've ever had to sit next to in Hollywood Squares? Who's the lamest?
Man. I could tell you. I don't know their names. They were on an African American show. They were kids and they grow up. What's his name? Todd Bridges.
Different strokes.
Yeah, different strokes. Todd Bridges sat next to us, right? And Teller and I are making fun of. I think we're making fun of the Bible or something. It starts leading over and telling us we're going to rot in hell. Todd Bridges.
All
preaching the gospel to you. You know, so we had the usual intellectual discussion you'd have with Todd Bridges, which is Teller said, and you know, that was Teller's theological point.
Oh, wow.
And then Todd came back with, well, you wait till you meet God and you have to go to hell. And then I came in with my intellectual point.
And
for the rest of the time, he was sulking.
There you go.
And when Vicki Lawrence is on the show, does she stay in mama character even during commercial breaks? Or does she come out and is she Vicki Lawrence?
When she's mama, it's so sexy.
You know
what I'm talking about.
I know.
No, Vicki Lawrence is really, she's funny. I thought she was pretty funny.
Hey, Penn, I want to ask you, how long are you going to be in Vegas? How long will your run?
I think, I don't know. We're completely contracted through 2006, but the Rio is just such a hip place to work. They just let us do anything. I mean,
great theater.
We've never worked, including Broadway. We've never worked anywhere that had a nicer theater and also a management that just said, hey, we know how to run a casino. You know how to do Penn and Teller. We just leave you alone. So unless they fire our asses, I can't think of a reason to leave.
All right. There you go. That's good news.
Great talking to you. Thank you for the time.
And also, listen, you guys, I got to tell you that my first book, my novel, Sock, by Penn Jillette, comes out in a couple weeks. So I want to read a psychotic book.
It's a story of the... What is it the story of, Penn?
It's a love triangle between a straight man, a gay man, and a dead woman, told from the point of view of a sock monkey.
That's
one of those
sweet
standard things that comes out all
yeah,
the time.
That's great. Penn Jillette, thank you.
Thanks, Penn.
Thanks a lot.
We're
man.
Big fans. Thank you.
And thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Oh, man.
In 2006, I hope they don't replace it like with the Penn and Teller Tribute Act.
No.
I hope they're able to stay in Vegas.
No, next time, I'm going to give them another shot and try to get them closer.
Good. Well, you got to try to get a better seat.
It's really, that's the kind of show you want to be on top of, and they're great.
When you're far away, I was just in a bad mood.
Well, I bet you got good seats to Danny Gans, though.
I didn't go see Danny Gans.
I've not seen him either.
Don't think I'm going to catch that one.
I don't know who he is. I just know he's a tool that every time that I'm in Las Vegas, I see
the big billboard.
Some loser. You know, Danny Gans. Now, bro, who the hell's Danny Gans?
Every cab driver that I talk to will say, Danny Gans gives the best show on the strip.
Danny
he
Gans.
Sings, he tells jokes.
I'll tell you what, the best 10 p.m. show in Vegas is George Wallace.
That's true.
That's what the ads say. The best 10 p.m. show. Thank you, Penn Jillette. This music can mean only one thing. It's time to play I'm a Dick.
I'm a Dick.
And here's how we play the game. We're going to be giving away money, maybe lots of money today. WWE first row tickets.
Oh, very exciting.
WWE Monday Night Raw. We have tickets to see, hold on a second, Stephen Wright. Anybody remember Stephen Wright?
Yeah.
Stephen Wright. We have lots of prizes, cash. Here's the deal.
All right.
There's got to be one guy out there who's legally named Dick on his driver's license. Your mom and dad named you Dick. They didn't name you Richard.
Ah.
They named you Dick.
Right.
And you will have to prove, if you fool us, you're going to have to bring down ID to prove that your name is really Dick. Now, we need...
So that's the way it's got to be on the driver's license.
Correct. We need one true Dick. And we can take as many as 10 fake Dicks.
Right.
However, the fake Dicks must be named Richard.
Absolutely.
So, the game is, I'm a Dick. And we play the game as such. The real Dick will call right now at 877-365-3636.
Exactly.
And then the fake Dicks will call.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike and I will talk to each of these guys.
We'll get a feel for them.
And, you know, I think we'll have like 10 seconds to ask each guy, 30 seconds, whatever, to ask each guy the question. And then we will try to guess who's the Dick. And if the Dick fools us, he wins $100.
Right.
And if the fake Dick fools us,
he wins.
He was $100.
Right.
And incidentally, on our panel of experts, which is me and Rob and Buzz and Mike, if the real Dick fools us all, then he'll win some fabulous combination of prizes.
Fantastic. Wow.
So we need, for all of this to happen, we need a real true Dick to call.
So we need one real Dick and then four Richards.
You bet. Or even, Mike, we can take up to 10.
Okay, 10.
We got room
way to make it harder for us.
We got room for plenty of Richards, but only room for one Dick.
Very good.
So you
got to
call 877-365-3636. See? CFCC? Mm-hmm. What do you think of that, huh?
See, we're doing it. We're playing by the rules.
What do you think of that, FCC? Write those complaint letters today.
Absolutely.
So, are you a dick? Call us. If you're the dick of dicks, I mean, if you're really a dick,
you're the dick out of all these Richards,
you're going to win money and stuff. So call. We'll be right back with the game, which is the game. Oh, there's the music again.
Yes, it's game show music.
Game. I'm a dick.
Fantastic. And you Richards call us, too.
And Danny Gantz stinks.
He does.
Thank you, Penn Jillette. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I'm registered in this class.
What class?
This is U.S. history. See the globe right there.
Really?
Better come in?
Oh, please. I get so lonely when I hear that third attendance bell ring and all my kids are not here.
Sorry I'm late. It's just like this new schedule is totally confusing. Yeah, I know that, dude.
Mr. Spicoli.
That's the name they gave me.
You're ripping my car.
Yeah. Hey, bud, what's your problem?
No problem at all. I think you know where the front office is.
You dick!
Well, that's not his name. Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Right, right.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
They are the Dean's Peanuts, Don Geronimo, and Michael Mara.
I am a dick. We'll play that game here in a second.
Very good.
Let's say tomorrow on the show we'll have the latest victim from Love or Money. Remember we had that idiot bachelor last week on the show?
Preston Mercer.
That show's on tonight on NBC, and we're guessing that the girl that's going to be kicked off is the one that will be on the show tomorrow.
And we'll talk to her about him.
Yeah, what a tweet he is.
That'll be an easy interview. We're going to talk about him.
Yeah. Also tomorrow, funny man Patton Oswalt.
Wow. Oh,
the best. He's got something to plug, so he's coming on the show to plug it. And on Wednesday, we'll have the return of Match Game 2004.
Very good.
And we'll be playing with the two BAs.
Mm-hmm.
The new BA, Beth Ann, our producer.
Right.
And, of course, Robert Mailman.
Ah, fantastic. Oh, so we're going to have a big panel in here.
Yeah, excellent. A pair of BAs. Bob Adams.
Robert will be here.
And did you get the psychic who's written the cookbook from Dead Celebrities?
Apparently she wasn't expecting our call, which is ironic if you think about it.
You would think she'd know when everyone was going to call her.
So we got a lot of stuff happening on the show this week.
Cool.
Let's start here with cash and prizes. We have 10 phone lines. 9 guys named Richard.
This is going to be hard.
1 guy.
I really didn't mean it as a joke,
Dick. I know you didn't, but
I mean, it's
going
funny. To be difficult.
No, yes. It's hard.
I mean, really, because out of 10, I mean, that's incredible. We have to pick 1 guy we think is a dick.
The dick.
The dick.
Let's go to the lines right now. We can ask each guy a question. That's how we've decided to play this game. We can ask each guy a question. One question. And let's see. If the real dick fools, for every one of us that the real dick fools, he wins $100.
Okay.
And we'll have prizes for the fake dicks.
Very good. Good.
Now, should we let Beth Ann play? To have a girl play?
Unless, that'd be good.
Maybe she knows. Or maybe, let me see if she knows.
She might already be in the room.
I think Joe is king of the dicks, though.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
Joe is the only guy taking the dick calls, right?
Correct.
Come on in and play.
Okay.
All right,
Beth Ann, our brand new producer, is going to come in here.
And play, and then you'll have a chance to win, if you fool us, $500. Because there'll be 5 of us playing.
All right. And we will identify them as Richard number 1 through 10, and then we'll say out of the Richards, who's the dick?
Yeah, who is the dick?
All right.
Okay, hi, Beth Ann. You ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
All right, let's start
with...
Are we going
to start with Richard number 1?
Richard number 1. Hi, what is your name, sir?
My name is Dick.
That's the right answer. Let's see. What, Mike?
Yeah, he's off my list.
Why?
He hesitated. That was easy. I've got it narrowed down to 9.
All right, everyone, one question for this fellow. My question would be, why did your parents name you Dick?
Ask me.
Disqualified.
Disqualified. Not only did that guy drop,
the guy
said... But his parents were pretty effing stupid.
Amazing.
Obviously.
So now we're down to a 9.
He
might have been the real one. Hold on.
Wouldn't that be something?
Only Joe would know.
Let's find out we have to find out right away if he was the real one.
Hey, was that the real one?
No, it was not.
Thank God.
Now we can go through 2 through 10.
Yes.
And hopefully have a little bit better luck. I knew he wasn't from the beginning just because he hesitated.
Mm-hmm. My name's Dick.
Thank you, Joe.
All right,
out. So again, guys on hold, and we come to you and say, hey, who is this? Immediately step strong to the microphone and say...
Well, don't coach them.
Yeah, that's going to make
it. They don't need to be coached.
Well, you coach people all the time.
And you hate it when I do.
I know, that's why I'm doing it now to you.
Okay.
Do you guys have questions written down? Do we have to come up with these questions for them?
Yes, darling, it's an ad-lib program.
Right.
Maybe you've not seen the empty room that says writer's room.
BA, right here. There's the question.
Right between the ears.
And
Robbie, what, Robbie?
While we're coaching, be aware that just because you pretend... to not answer right away doesn't mean we'll be fooled.
Right. Can you do the Jackie Gleason walk with those pants on for me, please?
Before the show is done.
Okay.
Here is our second contestant. Hi, what is your name, please? What is your name?
This is Dick.
Hello, Dick.
I'll take the first question with this guy.
All right.
Everybody will get a question. My question for you, the same as the last guy. Why did your parents name you Dick?
Actually, I'm the third Dick. My grandfather was a Dick, my dad was a Dick, and I come from a line of Dicks.
All right, thank you.
All right, Dick, do we just move on now?
No, we can move on to another guy.
I'm fine with that. I have no problem with that. I'll ask a question of the next.
And that was number three?
That was Dick, Richard number three. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that was Richard number two.
We've started over. That was Richard number one because the first guy was disqualified.
Oh, now.
All my numbers.
Jesus. This is like for love or money, isn't it?
All right, Richard number like one. That was Richard number one.
Yeah,
okay.
Here is now Richard number two. Hi, what is your name, please?
My name's Dick.
Mike, here you go. Here's your Dick.
Richard number two, please to... Please to tell us your most admired Dick besides yourself.
I guess Dick Van Dyke.
And why?
Just because he's the first one that popped off my head when you asked me the question.
All right.
And I don't want to pause.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Let's go to the next guy.
This
Hi.
Is Richard number three, Don.
Hi, what is your name, sir?
No, it's number two.
Hello?
Wait a minute. No, we just had number two.
That was number one, wasn't it?
No.
No, there's the first guy. There's the first guy that we...
You started over again.
Yes.
So we had Richard number one who talked about his father being a long line of dicks. Then we had Richard number two.
This is the third coming up.
Dick Van Dyke. This is third number three.
Right. Hi, what is your name, sir?
I said corrected.
What is your name, sir?
Dick.
Robbie, it's your turn with this guy.
At what... Please to be telling me at what age... You found out your name was unfortunate.
Seven.
Seven.
Okay. May we ask?
Why? Because my last name is Dickman.
Wow.
My first name is Dick.
Dick Dickman.
No. And that was Richard number three, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's Richard number
three. Hold on. Now, see, either that guy is real dumb... Or real good.
No, I mean, he could be. I could see it. It's possible.
No, his He's name got is not circle. Dick Dickman. Come on.
It might be, Beth Ann.
Well, anything's possible.
Are we going on to Richard number four?
Yes, we are, and it's your turn, Beth Ann. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Who is this, please?
Hi, my name is Dick.
Beth Ann, go ahead.
Hey, Richard number four. Seeing as Dick is usually a nickname, you as Dick, did you have a nickname other than Dick?
That's a good question.
Sometimes in high school, I was referred to as Richard Skull, short for something else.
I got you. Right, for like Richard Head.
Oh, okay. Yes. Richard
okay.
Skull.
All right, thank you. Hold on a second.
Right.
Here is number five.
Richard number five.
This is for you, Buzz.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. What's your name, please?
My name is Dick.
Buzz, go ahead.
Richard, did you have any other burdens to bear in your youth besides the name itself?
What?
Were you kidded about anything besides the name?
Well, when your name is Dick, just about everything they can find to pick on you, it works. Now, I'm a little heavy, and I didn't get along with the other kids.
How heavy are you? Can I ask, I interject here. Richard, number five, how heavy are you, sir?
Well, I'm about 275.
Hey.
275.
And how tall are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 5'4".
Pretty short.
I'm a short dick.
Wow.
All right, hold on.
I'm a short, fat dick. They call me Tuna Can is the nickname.
Tuna Can.
All right,
Tuna Can. I'm going to put that in parentheses.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oh, it's my turn again. Hi, what's your name?
My name's Dick.
This is Richard number six.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to try a reverse psychology with this guy.
Are you supposed to tell them that?
Yeah, I don't mind telling that. Some guy. I'm just going to say, I don't believe you. I don't believe you that your name is really Dick. Prove to me why you're not just some guy named Richard. Why is it special? This is what I was trying to get to with the other guy. Your parents had to know what's going on. They couldn't have named you Richard. Why is your name Dick?
Well, it all came about from my grandfather on my mother's side. Just a family line. Just came down as Dick. I guess they didn't know how to spell Richard.
How many others allegedly in your family down this family line?
That I know of, it's two. And my grandfather and my great-grandfather.
Who are you? Let me just have fun. Who are you directly named after?
My grandfather.
And what was his name without his last name? What was his full name?
Dick.
No. What was his middle name?
Oh, Allen.
Dick Allen was his name.
Dick Allen, yes.
Also a great player for the Philadelphia Phillies, I believe, Dick Allen.
That might be where he came from.
Hold on. I don't think so.
All right.
One second. All right, you just lost with me, pal. Mike, your turn. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Dick.
Hi, Dick. This is a question I think it's really going to get to the root of all of this. And what I'd like you to tell me, Richard, what is your favorite pie?
Boston cream pie.
No hesitation. He's a finalist.
Okay, all right.
Boston cream
pie. Don and Mike, hello. What is your name?
Dick.
Robbie.
Again, I will go with... tell me, what is your middle name?
Edward.
And did you ever think of using that as a name, or do you always go by Dick, and why?
No, I work in the HVAC industry where I can write my first name on my
industry?
Shirt.
The
what industry?
HVAC. Heating air conditioning.
Heatback industry.
Mm-hmm. Heatback, right. Okay.
I got my
and I get to write that name on my shirt. It's, you know, everyone uses their first name. That's the best name to have in your service industry.
Yeah, people remember it.
All right.
Okay. And hey, you can't make funny, and you could always, you know, crap on them the whole day long.
Okay.
Okay, hold on a second.
We go to Richard number 9.
Hold on, and here we go. Don and Mike Show. Hi, what is your name?
Dick.
Bethann, this is for you.
Okay, hi, Richard, how are you? Are you there?
My name's Dick.
She was trying to trick
that's
you.
That's right. That was my question. That was it.
All right, hold on. Let's get one
very
more
clever.
For Buzz. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'm on the air, aren't I?
Pardon me?
I'm on the air, aren't I?
Yes.
Yes, you are, Richard, number 10.
I'm not Richard, but that's okay. I've got a really mundane question, so...
Hold on a second.
Wait a minute. You're not asking questions.
Although you might be a winner on this segment, because I think your name might be Dick in a big way.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think you're not calling for the contest, right?
No, I'm not.
No, okay. All right, well, it's too bad. The contest was named for you.
Do we have a Richard number 10, or have Richards 1 through 9?
We just have 9 of them.
All right.
And based on that now, I ask you, my fellow panelists... to please be voting for who you think the real Dick is.
No doubt in my mind.
I will tell you, for me, I had it down to 2.
I have
3.
It down to 2, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have it down
either
to 4.
Number 5 or number 2.
I have either number 3, who impressed me for some reason, and the guy who said that he works in the service industry, the heat vac guy who had his name on the shirt.
Right. I have number 3 also, but I also have numbers 1, 6, and 7.
Mm-hmm. I only say number 3, and I know why he impressed you. Same reason for me, because his name was Dick Dickman.
Yeah,
you know what? What the hell?
No way.
I'm gonna join in on that, because that's why I thought Dick Dickman. And I used to have a program director named Chuck Dickman.
All right, I am gonna go with number 3. Dick Dickman is my final choice.
Three, and Rob, if you
Rob,
make 3, then
number 3, DD.
Now,
Bethann, what about you?
You don't have to be influenced. Vote for the one you think.
It's number 5 or number 2. I'm going to say number 2.
Number 2. Why number 2?
I can't remember why.
You just love number 2?
I just love that Dick. That was the
Buzz. And Buzz?
And number 5 was my choice.
Oh, just Buzz on my team.
Okay, well then...
But I mean, the voting, isn't it by a vote?
Oh, no.
No, it's all individual.
No, it's individual. Right. Whoever the guy named Dick is, he could win money from all of us if he fooled all of us.
Oh, okay. 3-3-3-2-5.
Mm-hmm. Joe Ardinger. Well, hold on. I'll just call him up. Because we can't conference 10 lines, 9 lines together. I just asked
him.
Hello?
Joe?
Yes.
Now, before we go through this, let's recap. I've selected Dick number 3. Mike, you have selected...
I'm going to change mine. I would
you
like to go...
You can't change
Yeah, I'm going to change can't. Mine. I'm going to change mine to Dick number 1.
Mm. Oh.
But you said immediate... I'm going to be sorry. Dick
Rob,
number 3.
D.A.
Number 2.
Buzz.
Number 5.
Joe. Oh, hold on, Joe.
All right, so we have 1 vote for Richard number 1, 2 votes for Richard number 3,
right in the middle there.
1 vote for Richard number 2, and 1 vote for Richard number 5.
Keeping in mind here that whoever is really named Dick, if he's for every one of us of our crew that he fools, he wins $500.
All right,
no, Joe.
100.
Could win 5. He wins 100 for each person he fools. Joe, is it line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9? Who is the real Dick?
Line 3.
Yes!
Line 3!
Yeah! Wow.
Yeah!
And I changed just to be difficult. Yeah!
Good job.
Yeah!
I think you and I know our dicks.
Yeah! Tell me about
Shocker.
It.
Shocker.
Is this...
Oh, hold on.
No.
Hi, Joe.
The real Dick is on line 3. I think you started from line 10 and worked your way down, so it would probably be Dick
number
7.
Oh, hold on a second. Is this Dick Dickman?
Oh, dear.
No, that's not Dick Dickman.
Hold on, Joe, I'm not talking... you see what line I'm on?
Yeah, you're on line 3.
You want me to go to line 4?
No, I want you to stay on line 3. That's the original Dick.
Okay, line 3, which I'm putting on right now. Hello, is this Dick Dickman?
No, this is not.
Joe, the guy on line 3 is not Dick Dickman.
Right, Dick Dickman was on line 8.
Yeah, contestant number 3 wasn't on line number 3, and maybe that's where we're getting confused.
Is this Dick Dickman?
Richard, does Daniel?
Hello, who's on this line, please?
That's the guy that's playing.
Pitcher, the real Dick.
Oh, now I'm confused.
Joe, do you have a phone number for the real guy?
Yeah.
All right, bring it in, please.
He's on line three.
Okay, I'm going to push. Do you see me pushing the arrow here on line three?
I do.
Now this call's on the air.
Right.
Hello, is this Dick Dickman?
No, this is the HVAC Dick.
Ah.
See, it's
that's
the HVAC
vacuuming. Well, what happened,
Joe,
here?
It's not the guy. Joe,
Don, you went from line 10 down to line 2.
Joe, would you just please bring the guy's phone number in?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay.
Either way, hold on. Now we have to figure out who wins stuff here.
It's up in the air, yeah.
Because there are people, let me see.
Well, at least thank God we got an identity on the guy. Otherwise, yeah, we would be totally out of luck.
Well, Dick Dickman will win $200 because he fooled both Don and I.
And then there are guys.
Wait a minute, he didn't fool you.
That's too soon to say.
No, because he wins money from Mike.
And Beth Ann.
And Buzz.
So he wins $300.
He wins $300 because he fooled Mike and Beth Ann.
Because
and
I bailed out at the last minute.
Oh, okay.
He got an extra $100. He didn't fool you, Rob.
Right, you figured it
you
out,
figured
Rob, so
right.
He doesn't win.
So I was right?
No, you're wrong.
I was wrong.
You're
damn
wrong. Now
I'm confused.
Joe, do me a favor. With all of these guys, go back through and find out whichever guy was. Mike, you voted for...
I voted for number one, who also should win something,
yes,
because he fooled me.
And he will.
As his number two and number five should win something.
This is guy number one. Hi, Joe.
Let me just explain.
Oh, dear.
Number one...
We're SOL right now.
The way that Don went down the tree... Number one was line 10.
Joe.
Number two was line 9. Number three was line 8. Number four was line 7.
Uh-huh.
Number five was line 6.
Can you just go through and find the ones?
Number six was line.
Can you find the people that Mike selected and Beth Ann selected and Buzz selected?
Well, those guys are... And number seven was line 3, who was the real one.
So I would have selected number 10. That would have been my selection.
Your line.
Let's see, we should start at number one.
Listen, Joe's making this incredibly complicated.
No, I'm not.
None yes, you are.
You picked him.
Oh.
Wait, hold on a second.
No, but no. Pick number 7.
Wait, regardless
of
the number.
We got a name on the guy.
The guy that Dad went...
said he was Dick Dick.
The guy that
Dick
went third after we disqualified the first guy.
Right.
Right.
So in reality, he would have been the fourth guy, but after we disqualified the first guy, the guy that went third, the guy that said his name was Dick Dickman.
No, but you started punching from line 10 down. I watched you. I know Dick
Dickman
was on line 8 because I lined him up and he had a unique name, but his name was really Richard Dickman.
Hold on, so his name
is... Well, no, wait, because...
Is his name not Dick? Is that the... Was
not
that...
Not on line 8, not number 3.
Is Richard Dickman... Is that Dick Dickman? Is he really Dick Dickman?
No.
Well, then Don and Rob were wrong.
We should ask him what questions we asked him.
God.
That's the only
but
way
now
we're
we don't
the
know.
Real Dick was the one who was in the service industry.
And that's number 2.
He was on line 3.
Oh, God. This is an absolute
right
total CF.
This is the worst. So the guy that we thought was the winner, the guy who was really named Dick, he's really not named Dick. Dick Dickman is not really named Dick.
No, he's a Richard.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
so you guys were wrong.
So we were wrong.
And I was wrong, too, with number one.
Everybody was wrong.
Did anybody select the right guy?
No.
Then that guy...
is going to win
$500.
Now, can we find him?
Do you have his phone number?
It's right in your hand, or he's on line 3.
Okay, hold on a second. I thought you gave me the phone number of Dickinson. Or Dickman.
Why would I do that? He wasn't a real Dick. He was a Richard.
Okay, which one do I call?
You've got the highlighted
one. The highlighted one? Here we go. Stand by. Stand by for action.
Isn't this exciting?
I don't know if I like this game.
God.
To be honest.
Joe is Joe Sodman at Fairfax.
I was going to come in and tell you were going down the tree.
No need to do that, Joe.
Yeah. Going down the tree. Going down the phone tree. As Joe continues just to speak in code. Only understood by people.
And what's the deal with your hair today?
Please hold while the Nextel subscriber you are trying to reach is located.
It's fabulous. What did you do to it today? It looks wet.
You like sea-crested your hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sea-crest mousse.
I put it in the blender.
Shauna, that's the Buzz. Or Joe?
I'm sorry. I think I picked her.
Well, we have to have
I know that number's correct because I had...
We have to have a dick hunt. We
okay
do to find this guy to find our $500 winner.
Hold on. Joe, what city did the real Dick live in? What was the area code?
That 4-4.
4-4-3?
Yeah, that'd be Baltimore, I guess.
I'll try this again. I don't think so. Hold on.
4-4-3 is not Baltimore.
By the way, I feel I should announce we're all in here.
0-1.
Let me go back.
No, no, it's
no,
good.
No, don't leave Beth.
Is 4-4-3 a new Baltimore area code?
Exactly.
What?
Oh, you know
what's going on?
Because that's his business phone because of...
He's in the service industry.
So do not be fooled. I think that could be...
servicing someone right now.
Beth Ann, do us a favor.
Yeah, call.
You know, straighten this out.
Take control of this, Beth Ann.
Straighten this out during the break. When we come back, here's what I'd like. Please. The guy that won the contest, because he just won $500.
Right.
And the guys that we selected, the five other guys, or four other guys...
Well, that's not going to happen.
...that we selected...
No, that won't happen.
They're going to get WWE tickets.
Right. Do you want them all on?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Sure it is.
No way that can happen.
Sure it is. No, come on.
Sure.
Chop, chop. Here we go.
No, it'll take a lot of letter writing.
Watch the magic happen now.
Okay.
Watch the magic happen.
Uh-huh. Right.
We're going to take a commercial break while the magic happens.
Good. Very good.
We'll come back after this very successful playing of I'm the Dick. First time ever we've played the game. Oh, hold on. What? Rob, what?
Luckily, Joe's been in touch with the daughter of an old family minister who had recorded it also.
You know, I'm in the radio business, and I'm looking at the phone bank, the lines that Joe's talking about.
Right.
I don't understand what he's saying when he's saying, when you went to line number one...
Well, did you go 10 down instead of one up?
I went from 10 to 1 on my phone.
You reversed it to him. And you know what that is to him? That's like, seriously, that's like spinning somebody around with their head on top of a baseball bat.
So you mean if I'm doing a contest and Joe's on the phone, I have to, the first caller has to be caller number, line number one.
For this particular game, I think that would work best.
Like he lettered in forensics.
Because on this particular game, if you go one, that's really the only way we identify them is by the line that they're on. They're not all going to give us information like heating and vacuuming.
But if I'm going backwards, just because it's easier for me to press button number 10 than button number 1, if I'm going from 10 to 1, yet I'm telling you were going from 1 to 10, what does it really matter?
That might work.
Hold on a second. Who is this?
This is Dick.
Oh, you got him already, Beth Ann?
We got him.
There you go.
All right, this is Dick, the heating and air conditioning guy.
Yeah, I am Dick, the heating and air conditioning guy.
Is this Dick Dickman?
No, this is not Dick Dickman. My mistake.
He was a Richard. Dick, what is your full name, please?
Dick Edward Sawyer.
Wow. You're a lucky guy.
Where are you from, Dick?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Dick, congratulations. Yeah. You fooled every one of us.
Everybody in the whole studio.
That means you won 100 dollars.
Wow.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Well, you had to kind of ramp up to that, didn't you, Dick?
I don't make a lot of money in the HVAC industry, so I need to win radio prizes.
And why do they call it the HVAC industry?
I don't know. Dick, why is that, Dick?
It's short for heating and air conditioning.
HVAC. The V is for ventilation, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dick.
Nice pull, bud.
Thank you. All right, that's how you play. I'm the Dick, and he's the guy.
Buzz new ventilation.
Yeah. Yeah, Buzz doesn't look. You know what it is? It's the necktie factor.
That's right.
That's what it is.
Makes
Buzz
me smarter.
Necktie factor. All right. Hey, Dick, congratulations. You won $500.
You are radio god.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening. Hold on just a second.
Now, somewhere out there, Richard Dickman wins $200, too.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how are we ever going to find him, though?
Maybe he'll call.
Yeah, right.
He's not busy playing the home version.
He'll call.
And then Richard number one and Richard number two. Also, no, I'm sorry, Richard number...
Oh, who knows? Whatever.
No, you know what? They don't win. They win prizes.
They win the WWE. Yeah, they don't win money. They win WWE.
Yeah, okay.
Now they really are going to call.
We're never going to figure it out. Listen, phone scan. Let's play the phone scan, 877-365-3636.
All right.
That is the number. We'll take live calls. We have a very short break here because, boy, isn't it always the case when you're talking with someone named Dick?
Yeah, absolutely.
It just takes up all your time.
Are you ready for Christmas Day to get even better?
Yeah.
Dick Dickman's on line six.
What does
okay,
he want?
Listen, scratch the phone scan. Let's forget that.
Yeah.
We're going to have to take a break. We'll come back and we'll figure out what's happening with all of our dicks.
Very good.
Okay? Let me just make sure line number...
He's not technically a dick. He's a Richard.
He said line five. Mm-hmm. He's on line six.
I said line six.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
This is Richard Dickman.
Richard Dickman. You fooled Robin Don.
Yeah. Hold on a second. We'll talk to you when we come back, okay? Right. I think that they're finding all of the other Richards out there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Here's a story about the wackiest, sexiest, fun-filled place to take your girl. The Groove Room, a place where lights flash, machines spark, and the people get more turned on than the electricity. The Groove Room. Somebody just had to invent a place like this. Take off your inhibitions and have some fun in The Groove Room. The Groove Room, rated X for adults, from Independent International.
The Don and Mike Show.
The number one radio show in Haiti, The Don and Mike Show.
You're goddamn right.
Yeah. And here's Nelson.
Yeah.
For everybody in Haiti.
The Haitians love Nelson.
Not really sure if we've figured out a lot yet with the commercial set there, with the resolution of I am a dick, or I'm the dick, or whatever the game is. Anyway,
really,
here's...
should be who's the dick.
Here's Dick Dickman.
Yes.
Richard Dickman. Who was selected
by you and Rob,
by Robin,
and has won a couple of prizes.
Yes, he has. My friend, where are you from?
Marshall, Virginia.
Marshall, Virginia, okay.
Beautiful town, love it out there.
Here you go, you've won fifth row tickets to WWE Monday Night Raw, live in DC MCI Center, Monday, July 19. Tickets go on sale Saturday, June 19, 10 a.m. The action and excitement of WWE. You'll be there. Fifth row tickets for Monday Night Raw Live, okay?
Yippee!
All right. Thank you, Richard.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
Way to go. You fooled me and you fooled Rob.
Yep.
See, now, technically, I mean, his friends could call him Dick Dickman.
Sure. Yes.
But his legal name
is Richard Dickman.
That's right.
And he almost fooled me, too.
I'm curious, what do you really go by in day-to-day affairs?
Oh, hold on. Joe's got him on. Joe, would you put line six back on hold?
In a minute.
Forget it. I'm halfway there to getting his address.
Trying to get him tickets.
Thank you, Joe. What was that, Robbie? He's, are you back, curious. Richard?
What do you go by on day-to-day basis? Do you go by Richard? Rich or Dick?
Rick.
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 Yeah, we forgot about that one. Yeah. Rick.
Smart move. Thank you.
I knew it.
I'll turn you out of here. You didn't know anything. You didn't know Richard. Now... these other lines that all have check marks by them. Are these guys who played? I don't know. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, line 10. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, did you play the game with us?
No, but I got a good dick for you.
No, but you have what?
I have a good dick for you.
We've
Dick Stiff.
Okay, thanks. Listen, will all the junior comedians please let us be us, okay?
Yeah. No helping.
Thank you.
Well, obviously these aren't people that are...
I don't think so.
...there for any particular reason.
But all the lines have check marks by them.
Why would that be?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Did you play the game or are you just calling?
I'm just calling. I didn't play the game, but I just thought something ironic happened with the winner. Did you realize he got double whammy? His middle name was Edward, so do you think he went by Dick Ed in school?
Maybe so. All right.
Okay. Everybody wants to play. Yeah.
Don and Mike Show.
It's
hello.
A fun game.
I'm guessing this is not another person.
Hello. How can we help you?
Who's playing the game? You know, this is
hello,
like
Don.
Turning into a phone scan now, which we don't have time for. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air.
Hi. I was just curious on that Dick game.
Yes.
Yeah. I figured out who was the real Dick. It was Don for screwing the bit up.
Yeah. I screwed it up. How did I screw it up, sir? Explain it to me.
By going down the tree the wrong way. By
Can I just point out one thing to you? There's a reason I'm in here, and there's a reason Joe's in there. Okay? And to you, the layperson, it really shouldn't matter if I pick up line number 10 and say it's line number 1 or otherwise.
You know whose fault it really is. Seriously.
Of course it's true.
Do you know
I'm
whose
right.
fault it is?
Who?
Wendell's.
Winner! Now it's not Wendell's fault.
Wendell.
Wendell Hall.
Once again.
Thank you. Thank
you guys.
Why am I thanking you for calling?
No,
get out of here. You're a dope.
So glad.
Off the telephone. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello?
These people did not play the game.
No.
No. Why are you calling?
Me?
I don't really care why he's calling. All I know is it's going to be another Monday as I look at the red microphone cable wrapped around my mic stand like a giant anaconda.
All right, Mike.
Wendell.
Let me just...
Wow.
Winner!
You want to take this up with Wendell now?
No, I'm kidding. Wendell knows I'm kidding.
He just continues to flick matches at the gas can.
Wendell knows.
Listen, Dennis Murphy went to Los Angeles months ago.
Yes.
Actually, it was last month, but we set it up 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. He was going to go to California with five of our listeners. Spike TV gave us trips to Los Angeles for the Stuntman TV Award.
Very exciting show.
Dennis did not get on the TV show, but he was there for the premiere.
He walked the red carpet.
Yes, he did, and he interviewed celebrities. Now, I know we're not going to have time to play all of these for you today.
Right.
This will just be a tease.
A tease from Dennis Murphy. A tease.
So now, if you're ready, let's go out west, they'd say.
Hooray for Hollywood.
To Hollywood, Dennis Murphy with Kevin Nealon.
Oh, God.
Roll it.
Kevin Nealon is coming up.
Yeah.
What's good question for Kevin Nealon? Oh, why did you meet Kevin Nealon? Yeah.
So this is Dennis interviewing celebrities.
And once again, getting help.
Yes.
Once again, he's...
Hey, I know you.
I heard that.
Hey, D. Toronto.
Hey, how's it going?
Looking good. Kevin. Kevin Smith from the Saturday Night Show.
Oh, my God.
Why did you meet Saturday Night Live?
Because I've been there for 9 years, and I had another... Let me finish.
I'm calling.
Because I had a pilot, a sitcom, and I had my fill of Saturday Night Live and living in New York. But I live in New York, and I go back there anytime.
I love you doing the move, and I miss seeing you every Saturday night.
Jesus.
I don't want to hear it again.
What's your next movie?
Jesus.
The next movie?
Yes.
I'm going to go see Troy tomorrow.
What are you going to do now?
Way to get the joke, Dennis.
To do an action-adventure film, and I'm here to find some stuntmen that will help me out and double for me.
Oh, by the way, I'm a stunt man, but can I bring you a show?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Hey, Kevin, can you say hello to Don and Mike, please?
Oh, stop.
Don and Mike, how are you?
Is it rolling?
That's rolling.
I think we've got our permanent. I think he's permanent as our representative.
I love that.
Nobody represents us better.
Hey, can you imagine you're Kevin Nealon, you're already a fading star, you're on the so-called red carpet, and the first thing Dennis says to you is, looking good?
Hey, why did you leave Saturday Night Live?
And here's the Dennis Murphy style of interviewing, okay? Why did you leave Saturday Night Live? You be Kevin Nealon. Why did you leave Saturday Night Live?
Well, I...
But...
All right, Robbie, for it to be proper, I would have to be off mic.
Let's tease. Let's go to back to cut number, because there's a good 5 minutes with Kevin Nealon.
Oh, good.
Let's go to cut 21.
Oh, that's a good one.
With Dennis on the red carpet. And again, we'll play all of these for you on tomorrow's episode.
Yay.
This time it's Dennis with Bill Paxton, the guy that was in Independence Day. Dennis,
what are you doing now? What's your latest film?
Well, I got a movie called Thunderbirds coming out based on the old Super Marionation puppet series from the 60s that Jerry Anderson created with his wife back in England. And I got a flick called Haven, a kind of a really cool independent movie.
Can you pause it for a second?
And what's the thing?
None of these celebrities, and I use that term loosely with Kevin Nealon, but none of them say anything to Dennis like, hey, you know, hey, dude.
Well, they can't.
You're missing a tongue.
They haven't known him for 20 years like you and I have.
You got half an arm.
Well, we couldn't do that if we met Dennis for the first time, too. We'd probably react the same way.
I think if a guy was interviewing us in line, we might say something. At least, you know, we would give a, hey, dude, what's with your getup? Mm-hmm. You know, we might say something to him, or, you know, that is certainly a...
But big Hollywood celebrities can't do that.
No, they don't. Anyway, here's more with Bill Paxton.
You know what we need to know is, how is Dennis attired?
Yeah, exactly.
That would help us to know why they were treating him like that.
Let me just tell you the list of celebrities that Dennis has. Let me see. There's Carmen Electra,
ooh,
Kevin Nealon, Bill Paxton, Burt Reynolds, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Johnny Knoxville, The Rock, some guy who's in Spider-Man 2, and Uma Thurman.
Ooh.
These are the celebrities.
Well, he didn't talk to all these celebrities.
That's what it's... the only one that I see where they don't talk to him, it just says, The Rock and Johnny Knoxville walk by.
Okay.
And Dennis then says, why are you blowing us off? And they come over and speak to him.
Okay, very good.
So all of these celebrities, Dennis actually at least tried to speak to.
Cool. Good.
I don't mean that tried because he's got half a tongue.
No, made an effort to interview.
He tried. Okay, let's hear a little bit more with, what are we on, the Bill Paxton
21.
One?
21.
Let's just hear a little more of Dennis with Bill Paxton, and we'll do this whole thing tomorrow. We'll give this a whole break.
I'm shooting a pilot for HBO, and I'm getting ready to direct a movie for Walt Disney. I've done some of my own stunts, but the really intense stuff, when they drop a gasoline tanker in front of the car I'm driving,
you're good chicken. What do you think about that?
What do I think about that? You lost your hand?
I'm not in a skunk. Yeah, I was swimming and a shot bit my hand off.
I think you're putting me on.
Look at the kitchen.
I see that your hand is missing.
My hand is missing.
Okay, all right.
Well,
now
we're getting
go,
somewhere.
Dennis. Now you might want to stay tuned tomorrow.
Way to go, Dennis.
And joining us now is major effing star Dennis Murphy, who is out there with these celebrities.
I'm proud of you, Dennis.
Dennis,
is good stuff.
Dennis, these tapes, we've not played them. We'll play them tomorrow. We teased them today. Can you tell us, as you're meeting these celebrities on the red carpet out there, how are you dressed?
Oh, I'm dressed in a Hawaiian shirt and blue khakis.
Perfect.
And blue khakis.
Wonderful.
You know,
navy blue, Dennis?
Navy blue, click.
Navy blue.
No.
Who was the nicest celebrity you met?
The highlight of the tape was what you just played.
Oh, that was the highlight.
Yeah.
Oh my. So we've already,
way to sell it. Yeah, Dennis, thanks for tomorrow's show.
We've already heard. We've heard the highlights.
That's typical Murphy. And who was helping you?
Your
R.J. Diaz?
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. How long ago was this that you were out in California?
It was May 16, couple of years.
And listen, without giving away anything else, obviously you got into a discussion with Bill Paxton about the fact that you're missing a hand.
Uh-huh.
Just tell me, do you bring it up with any other celebrities, or did they bring it up with you?
I bring it up with a lady from Community City.
How about the Carmen Electra? Do you have any contact with her?
Carmen Electra wouldn't talk to us. She just walked on by.
Uh-huh. She walked on by. Now, is this one of them I see on your notes where they walk by? I guess it was Johnny Knoxville that walks by, and then you say something, and then does Johnny Knoxville and The Rock, do they talk to you?
The Rock and Johnny Knoxville, they do talk to us, correct.
Ah, good.
Okay. Well, we'll hear all of this
yes.
on tomorrow's episode. I know it's been a long time in waiting.
Yes, it has been.
It's been a long time coming, but we'll finally hear the tapes of Dennis in Hollywood on the med carpet.
And be sure to watch the Stunt Awards a month ago on Spike TV.
Right. Yeah. All right, Dennis, very good. We'll talk to you later.
By the way, the T3 lady, I asked her out for a date.
You mean the lady that was the robot in Terminator 3?
Yes.
How was the date?
She wouldn't go out with me.
Oh, okay.
Shocker.
Hey, what else is new, right? Yeah.
Okay, Dennis, we gotta run.
Okay, can I present Buzz, please?
Of course.
Dennis wants to present.
Hold on, please, Dennis.
Okay.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
That's me. He made it up.
Okay, ask him your question.
Buzz.
Yes, Dennis.
What is the news story of the day?
Our lead story today, Dennis, the U.S. is told to either charge Saddam with something or set him free.
Good response, Dennis.
Thank you. That's like when he forgot the lyrics to the national anthem.
Stay tuned for news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Come on, Dennis. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Like the Girl Scouts, they have changed. Don and Mike.
Yeah. Time for Buzz now. Brought to you by Viramax, world's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer. Jim Morrison loved it. London invented when he was alive, but he loved it. Man, oh man. Viramax, number one, because it really works.
Someone call for a doctor.
Doctor developed. Call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Get it nationwide. Now here is Buzz with news and comments. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Now, not the American Red Cross, but the International Red Cross that looks after the rights of prisoners says the U.S. has to either file charges against Saddam Hussein or let him go. And the Red Cross says the deadline is June 30th, a little over 2 weeks away. That's the day the U.S. officially ends its occupation of Iraq.
How about this? Get bent.
Well,
International Red Cross, get bent.
Joe Biden, Senator Joe Biden, made a great point last week, I believe it was, when he said we want our prisoners to be treated a certain way, and we can't expect that if we don't abide by that same Geneva Convention. And that's basically what the Red Cross is saying.
You know, it speaks again to the preparation and the advanced thinking and the game plan for all of this stuff that there just wasn't any. It was cowboy up, go in there, get them...
what do we do now? I'll tell you what I like to call that guy. So damn insane. I was like, don't call him Saddam Hussein. He's so damned insane.
He's kooky. Yeah, he's kooky. You know, and what about the people that are terrified over there by hearing that news in Iraq? The people that, you know, are just going to freak out just at the possibility of this monster being released back into the, you know, into the public.
Well, I doubt that'll happen. It's still a couple of weeks away, and a lot of preparations are underway for the handover of power at the end of the month. But
I hope Preparation H is ready.
I thought they were going to try him in Iraq. I think that's what they were going to do. Right?
Yeah, that was the last I heard, and I guess we're still waiting to hear from the White House what will actually happen.
And why are we fooling each other with this whole trial thing?
Well, exactly.
I mean, like, all you got to do is get a room with a desk and say, okay, you're guilty.
Well, then you're Saddam Hussein.
But no, but we know what he's done. I mean, so why do all the billable hours?
Why haven't they gone ahead and filed the charges?
But the majority of his crimes are against the Iraqi people, so we got to turn him over to the Iraqi
people. Two words. Judy Scheinman.
Yeah.
Judge Judy.
There's a justice.
Let me just say in response to that, a Joe Brown.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. May I say in response to that, Texas justice.
And may I say in response to that, the People's Court, which is still on the air.
And then there's one more.
Mike, I know it's not exactly...
Of course, you know who it is.
Well, no, I don't know who... But I know there's celebrity justice.
Yeah. Right, right.
And I also know that there's...
there's a lady.
Oh, man.
There's a black lady.
Yeah, I know there is.
I don't know her name.
I don't know her name. Rob? Why, I'm asking the wrong person.
Yeah.
Never mind. If she was white, you'd know.
I hate court shows, too.
My grandpa.
They bore me.
Citing the Geneva Convention, the Red Cross says, quote, the United States defines Hussein as a prisoner of war. At the end of an occupation, POWs have to be released, provided there are no charges against them.
Ow.
The Red Cross says the same is true for the Iraqi prisoners being held at the U.S. military base known as Guantanamo Bay.
I will tell you this about the war, that when Frieda and I went to see the Stepford Wives on Saturday, and I'm not proud of that, they ran an ad for Fahrenheit 9/11.
Right.
And I hadn't seen the ad yet.
Oh, a trailer, huh?
Yeah. Right. And it's a good job of editing. And I'll tell you this, you'll see the trailer.
Interrupt this program to activate the emergency alert system for the Washington, D.C. metropolitan operational area because of a local weather emergency.
A tornado warning is now in effect in Frederick County in Maryland until 7 o'clock this evening. Shortly after 6 o'clock, Doppler radar indicated a severe thunderstorm with strong rotation over Utica, moving east at 30 miles an hour. This dangerous storm could produce a tornado at any time. One of the locations near the path of the storm is Walkersville. If you are near the path of the storm, take cover now. If no underground shelter is available, move to an interior room on the lowest floor possible. Mobile homes and vehicles should be abandoned for more substantial shelter and avoid windows. Again, a tornado warning is now in effect until 7 o'clock this evening for Frederick County in Maryland.
Totally alone.
Really? Well, people are probably afraid to laugh.
Totally alone, but so funny, and I'm laughing, and I said to Frieda, she said, shh, be quiet. I said, I don't care. I said, that's so freaking funny. He didn't even have to edit that together to make him look stupid.
Right.
The guy's on the golf course.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
For God's sake.
Well, not surprisingly, more about that movie in a minute, but as we are also expecting this week to see evidence that the abuse of Iraqi prisoners was approved at the highest levels of our government. These, again, are Red Cross documents, we're told, that implicate senior Pentagon officials. And word is the documents are now in the hands of an American TV network. Pentagon officials have said that what happened at Abu Ghraib was an isolated incident. But those same officials have now ordered an investigation into the treatment of the 600 Iraqis being detained at Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, boy.
President Bush's attorney general is still refusing to turn over documents about the administration's policy on prisoner abuse.
Hold on, Buzz. We have an update here, maybe about the judges. Sylvia.
Yes.
Hi, Sylvia. Thank you for listening. What judge do you have?
It's Judge Maybelline. Her name's Maybelline Ephraim.
Yeah.
That's Maybelline. That's okay.
Ephraim. Hey, I like that.
Thank you. And hold on. Here's one we forgot. Here is Christine. We find a hi, Christine.
Hi.
Hi. Who's your judge?
Judge Mathis.
Yes.
Mathis.
Yes,
sir. Greg Mathis.
Right.
Hi.
Good.
This is Bud from...
Oh, hold on. I want to give you that.
And what about Pet Court?
There's also Judge Hatchett, but that could be the lady that Sylvia mentioned.
Judge Hatcher.
Hey, thank you. Bye. There is a Judge Hatchett. Thank you, Chris Dave.
You're welcome. Thank
okay.
you.
See you. Bye-bye.
Officials as high up as Vice President Dick Cheney are on a witness wish list for Private Lindy England.
Now, is he named Dick or is he named Richard?
I think he's Richard, yeah. He earned the nickname. She's the pixiest private who became...
Hey!
Michael Elster as Buzz Burbank.
Sorry, it was a cheap shot I couldn't resist.
I get it.
Lindy England is the pixie-ish private who became very public after we saw a photo of her laughing and pointing at a prisoner's groin.
Oh, remember we saw her interviewed. Can I just say something? Petite and feminine.
Yes.
And like a Barbie doll.
Oh, she's a little flower.
Because she ever got into the whole service thing, I'll never did.
I don't know. Just a little daisy.
She now has to defend herself against prisoner abuse charges, and her case will be that she was just following orders. To prove that, her lawyers will have to go as high as they can in our military and government ranks. Unfortunately for Lindy and her lawyers, she'll stand trial in a military court, and military rules say the military court will decide which military officials will and won't testify.
She was just following orders. I think I remember hearing that at Nuremberg.
Seems familiar, yes. And we always seem to end up back at movie maker Michael Moore, who, it turns out, might have been able to stop the prisoner abuse much earlier because he had film of it months before 60 Minutes, which finally broke the story. At the time, Moore says he thought it would be viewed as a crass attempt to promote his movie. Now, Moore says he's not so sure he did the right thing. Fahrenheit 9/11 opens Friday and includes a close look at our troops who come off, I'm told, as dazed and confused as the soldiers in the movie Platoon. Quoting Moore, the soldiers know they're there for a bull reason. Bush has created an atmosphere for those who serve under him to behave in immoral ways.
See, here's the thing about Michael Moore, and as much of a fan of his as I am, and we've had him on the show more than three or four times, sometimes he's a load, sometimes he's okay.
Right.
Here's what I'm he is a master of promotion.
Yes.
Like this whole thing with Disney not putting out the movie.
Exactly.
They decided that a year ago, and he ended up getting a deal with Harvey and the Weinstein guys.
Right.
So... here's what I don't know. If he did have these tapes of the prisoner abuse, why wouldn't Michael Moore, like jump on any TV show or have a press conference somewhere to announce that he had this? Why would he? Let's see. You're looking at me in the tone of voice that tells me you know the answer.
He's a movie maker first and foremost.
Right.
And if he did it too early, it wouldn't help him with the release of his film.
Right, yeah. And he had another controversy going then about the release of the movie.
Yeah, and that's the only thing about Michael Moore that I don't dig. I mean, because I know that he's a multimillionaire because of his books and his movies, which are great. And the point that he's trying to get to is great. But if he did have these tapes and he knew about the prisoner abuse, the Michael Moore that I would like to think whose books I've read and enjoyed and movies I've supported would have said, well, this might cost me some box office, but guess what? I found tapes of prisoners being abused, which would have given him tons more credibility.
But here's the deal. He's coming out and saying this right now. Yeah. And the fact is that Michael Moore is... That sounds like he's blowing the whistle on himself.
Yeah,
he is,
that it was a mistake.
And hold on, how about this? How do we know that Michael Moore even had those tapes?
Well, he'll probably release them.
I guess this part of it's in the movie, the part that he's referring
to. So you'll see it in the movie.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, then he should have released it. Yeah. I mean, and then
I think he's saying that now.
Then he's not being a good American, and he's not being a good showman.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, I'd like to find out all the details of it.
Sometimes it's hard to be a good American and a good showman.
And Michael Moore, take it from one guy who's not, you know, knockout handsome to another guy. Grow back the beard.
Oh, you think so?
Really? Oh, yeah.
I don't like that little shaved, stubbly thing. What the hell is that thing on his face?
Just grow back that full beard that you had, or that like, three-day growth, whatever that...
Oh, I hate that.
Did
he shave it off?
Yeah, I saw him do an interview, and
Any facial hair at all?
No, he looked like Roger Ebert.
how many chins should he grow it off?
It was a combination, I'm not kidding, a combination of Roger Ebert and Steve Dahl.
Which is fugly.
Yeah, grow the beard back.
Well, Moore says he has 1,500 letters from troops speaking out against the war, and he's thinking about putting those in a book as well.
Michael Moore, of course, is the real name of DJ Scott Shannon also.
Right. That's right.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
There he is.
Radio pronosticator from New York City.
Thank you, Sean.
Hello.
Scott Shannon.
Scott Shannon. The government figures a way to streamline travel, and that's our story.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't you bring your watch to work today,
necktie boy?
Yeah.
Sure, I'm on top of it. We're up on a break. Buzz, what is next?
I just told you.
I know, but I wasn't listening.
Oh, okay, well, the government finds a way to streamline air travel.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Note, bolded copies required. Please feel free to make this your own.
OnStar.
DJ Banter copy.
Banter.
You've all heard about OnStar by now. You know, why do they have us read the commercial when this is something we could actually do the endorsement for?
Yeah, because we both have OnStar, and we love it, and we love the personal calling that's available in OnStar.
Yes, it's fantastic. If you have OnStar in your car...
Hard to sound real when you're saying that. You know, it sounds like a commercial, but we are doing a commercial, but the fact is we both have OnStar, and we press the little white button, and we get the hands-free phone, and it comes through our stereo speakers, and we love it.
And I'll tell you, here in D.C., I know they've got this bass-ackwards rule, at least in the district, that they're going to be, like, ticketing you if you have a handheld cell phone.
Right.
It's a ridiculous law. You don't have to worry about that. If you have OnStar personal calling, you press the white button, like Mike said, you just say, call home, you program your numbers in, you get right through.
Helps keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel, and you get 30 minutes of OnStar personal calling with the purchase of any OnStar-equipped GM vehicle. It is fantastic. We both have it.
For information, go to OnStar.com or go to your local GM dealer. Right, go GM.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Noted Bonesman, Don Geronimo, and Michael Mera.
Yeah, tonight we're all wearing suits.
Yeah.
Going down to the world-famous Palm Restaurant for the Lombardi Cancer Gala tonight.
Looking forward to it. We haven't had a boys' night out in a while.
Be a good time. Buzz, here we go.
Yes.
And, you know, I think with the rest of us, the necktie thing, it's a one-night thing. We're going to this fancy cancer function. But, Buzz?
Yes?
I believe that you need to wear that outfit every single day. Buzz, it is so not you.
I know. Tell me about it.
I mean, I'm not saying you don't look nice.
Everyone told me that today.
You look very presentable.
Thank you.
I'm trying very hard not to be like I was saying people were 3 hours ago with us going,
right.
You're wearing a suit!
Yeah.
But you look so different. You know, you're normally over there wearing your cabana outfit.
Right. Yeah.
Or wearing pajamas or something. Mm-hmm.
But you got an A tie. I think you got the best tie in the room.
Thank you.
Well,
I like it.
The only one where I think when you see all of us, you think Photoshop. Like they put his head or that outfit
exactly.
on somewhere else.
I've been cut and pasted.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, let's finish the news, because the faster we finish the news, the faster we start eating and drinking.
Very good. I'm for that. And from our Homeland Insecurity Department, the government's expected to announce this week a way to streamline air travel for everyone. The Transportation Security Administration is launching a registered traveler program. After an extensive background check, frequent flyers who pay the fee would be given a photo ID card complete with a fingerprint. Those flyers would not have to remove their shoes and coats, among other things. The idea is to speed up the security line for them and everyone else.
I think it's stupid. Well, I think it lends itself to complete abuse. I really do.
The feeling is it has to be done. 200 million people are expected to fly or try to this summer.
So if you're a frequent flyer, it's almost like the Easy Toll or Smart Tag. You'll be able to get through faster.
Breeze through security. Most cases, you won't be stopped for much of anything.
I guess you can't abuse it if it is the person and you've got the ID.
Right.
It's a picture ID. It probably would be okay.
Yeah, but still.
It still, to me, seems a little hinky.
Yeah, because who's to say that some guy that doesn't fly all the time couldn't have a shoe bomb?
Exactly.
Right?
Right. Exactly.
And you know where this whole thing is absolutely the worst? We had Penn Gillette from Las Vegas.
Right.
In Las Vegas, which is, you could talk about Atlanta being a bad airport. You talk about, bless you, Rob, Chicago O'Hare being a bad airport, Logan being bad. Las Vegas getting out on a Sunday is the worst.
Insanity, right? Right.
However, if you are blessed enough to be holding a first-class ticket, once you get past the part where you get your ticket,
right,
it's like at Disneyland when you buy that pass to ride the rides.
VIP.
If you got a first-class ticket, I'm telling you something, at the Karen Airport in Las Vegas, you're going to get through in 10 minutes.
Yeah, and it's
while you're going to have friends who are not as lucky to be riding in first class. Hi, Rob.
Hi,
who have to wait 2 hours to get through the screening.
It's very much like having the preferred funeral ticket for Ronald Reagan.
Yes, it
is. Get through in no time.
Yeah, buy it if you can. They're going to have an initial three-month test period,
and for the record, I felt real bad for Rob that day.
You.
That's nice of you.
As I blew through and said to Rob.
Is McCarran the only airport that does that? Because I haven't noticed it in any other airport.
I've not seen it anywhere else, but it's definitely you go through security and it says first class customer security here, everybody else, you know, 8,000.
Las Vegas, Nevada, money talks, nobody walks.
I guess
right.
So.
They do try experiments at various individual airports, and that's really what they're doing here. For the first 3 months, the program will only be available in Minneapolis, Los Angeles, and Houston. Other cities, if it works, will be added later.
That's the airport.
Well, yeah, if it works in Houston, it'll work anyway.
McCarran.
She's a queen.
Get it?
And a Latin team in Karen.
Oh, McCarran.
McCarran.
Yeah.
At a party, she's a
number. Rob.
Everybody's glad.
Boy needs to be fed.
Yeah. Remember, he found that bad TV theme by the Beach Boys, Karen?
Karen.
It's not Karen Airport. It's McCarran Airport.
Okay.
It's McCarran Airport.
And if it was Karen Valentine International Airport, it'd be a different
story. And Buzz, I don't know if you probably got it in the
Karen
news.
Karen Carpenter International Airport.
I was reading, not a joke, that in Anaheim, somewhere in California, they're thinking about renaming John Wayne International Airport, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
They're thinking about renaming it the O.C. Airport.
Yes, I've heard of this.
Because that show is so scary funny.
Oh, stop.
It's
the Orange County Airport, so they would call it the O.C. That's the plan.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, but they backed off on it, I think, after listening to the hyphen. Oh.
John Wayne and the hyphen.
Duke. The Duke.
And that's how we started today's show, talking about the Duke.
Oh, I love the Duke. Full circle. I love the Duke. More than anything in the world.
here's what a lot of girls are getting for graduation this year. Breast implants. Gives a whole new meaning to being a C student.
Hi, girls. Hey, Buzz.
Thank you. The New York Post says the number of 18-year-olds who had the surgery nearly tripled in the last year. Quoting one doctor, there's a trend in which parents are giving implants as a gift, including as a graduation present. Even at a $5,000 price tag.
Here's a man who recently gave his daughter's implant.
It just doesn't get any better than this.
You tell him, Sam.
Experts say stars like Britney Spears and shows like The Swan have had a lot to do with this trend. Doctors say the young women usually say they just want their clothing and swimsuits to fit better, but the doctors also admit that self-esteem is a big factor.
Can you picture anything more ridiculous than you got like a 17-year-old kid? And as an incentive to get good grades or whatever, you know, to not do drugs or not hang out with a gang or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Say that if you're a real good girl, mommy and daddy will buy you your first set of implants. It's like My Little Pony. You know, your very first. Mom,
you know,
and dad,
I know I've got many, many years before
buy
I
buy your first fake boobs.
Yeah, before I have to think about that. But let me go on record right now as saying no. The answer is no.
A lot of doctors say it's a bad idea.
And I believe
much better chance of getting a car.
Maybe I'm thinking this way too much, but this would be a gift that's primarily for girls.
Right.
Right. The breast implants. Right. So if you're an 18-year-old boy, you're screwed, a 17-year-old boy.
They haven't come up with that surgery yet. a few doctors, say it is a bad idea, especially for a young woman at, say, age 18 whose body hasn't stopped developing yet.
Actually, the 18-year-old boys do benefit from this quite well.
Yeah. And that's why, once again, I say no!
And, Rob, I want you to know something. With all this talk about your kids and everything and how close we are to your family, we have started a new trust account for Julia for her first breast job.
Great, and I'm starting Robert auditioning for a Nicole Kidman movie.
I forgot about
also
that story.
Also from earlier.
Nicole Kidman, let me... hip people who weren't listening to it. Nicole Kidman is making a new movie now where her husband dies and is reincarnated as a 10-year-old boy.
Right.
And she then, they're filming scenes now where she's in a bathtub naked with the kid.
Getting romantic with the 10-year-old.
And yeah, she's getting it on with him.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see it. It bothers Mike.
Let's go to the congressional screening.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be one.
It's bath time, Johnny. It's me, Nicole. God.
You know, it would bother me a lot more if it was, little girls. As long as I keep the little girls up. For some reason, maybe...
You know, that's the
I don't have little girls.
That is,
I mean, I don't have little boys. I have little girls.
And that's also part of the great double standard. We've talked about this as my kid has grown up,
right.
A boy, and your daughters have grown up, that like when there's the story about a teacher seducing a kid, if it's a male kid, the general thought is,
that's because we remember what we were like when we were that age.
Yeah.
But it's all we thought about.
The flip side of that is you're looking at a naked 10-year-old boy on the screen.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Right, sure, so when's it open?
I'm sure it's faithfully done.
I'm sure.
What is wrong with you two? It's very highly disturbing, both of you. Both of the enthusiasm on these boys' faces is palpable.
It's funny. Yes. It's too funny. She's making a movie where she's naked in the tub making out with a 10-year-old.
Are you guys going to go see it together?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Finally, what a difference a gay makes. In Rochester, New York, the new Verizon phone directory accidentally lists the Royal Treatment Day Spa as a relaxing gay spa. No, the owner tells eager male callers it's not a bathhouse. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, sure there is.
She explains, while people of all kinds are welcome at the spa, it's not a hookup joint. Verizon's offered her money back on the ad goof, but she wants more than that. The owner says all these phone calls are cutting into her man hours.
No!
Hey!
I'm Buzz Burbank.
You don't get a chime for that one.
I'm the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No!
We've got to go. I think the Penn Jillette for being on the show.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we'll have what Beth Ann assures me will be the woman who's kicked off Love or Money with that retarded bachelor.
Yeah, we can trash that guy with her.
And Patton Oswalt tomorrow. That's it. We got to go. Good day to you, sir.
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 Get your feedback on there.
I remember when I was 10.
Order a pickle.
Let's take a bath.
So we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.